if a bill like this passes, when it does, then it makes sure that audits are being done nationwide, and I really think that's crucial.
One of the things that scares me is that while it's very hard for anyone to oppose this bill, it is easy for people to run out the clock. That's sort of a favored tactic of opponents of legislation. When you can't openly say you're against a bill but you don't like it, you just kind of put it on, you know, for last minute. If this
is the Quality News Network. After yesterday's triple-digit loss, the Dow Jones had a triple-digit gain in trading today. We'll have the closing numbers from Wall Street coming up in our business block. Vice President Dick Cheney issued a strong warning to Iran today. He said the U.S. would not allow the country to develop nuclear weapons or get the upper hand in the region. The vice president was aboard an aircraft carrier in the Persian Gulf as part of his trip to the Middle East. Iraqi President Jalal Talabani says U.S. troops may be needed in his country for one or two more years. Recently, lawmakers in Baghdad supported a decrease in the number of foreign troops in their country. In Iraq, 10 people were killed in 2 suicide bombings in southeastern Baghdad. 53 were wounded. The attacks targeted police patrols near 2 bridges. The threat of a terrorist attack in Germany is now being downplayed. A senior Pentagon official called it nothing new, according to CNN. Earlier reports said that U.S. and German law officials feared there would be an attack and U.S. military personnel or tourists may be targeted. The 6 Muslim men accused of plotting to attack New Jersey's Fort Dix were ordered today to be held without bail. They were arrested earlier this week after a 15-month FBI investigation. A federal judge has approved an immunity deal for former top Justice Department aide Monica Goodling. She is expected to testify about the 8 fired prosecutors controversy. The latest AP Ipsos poll finds 35% of those surveyed approve of how Congress is doing its job. President Bush's approval rating is at that same level. The poll also reveals that 71% of respondents say the country is on the wrong track. A day after he announced when he will step down as Prime Minister, Britain's Tony Blair offered an endorsement to his successor, Gordon Brown of the Labour Party. Blair will leave office on June 27th after 10 years in power. At an open-air mass in Brazil today, Pope Benedict canonized an 18th-century monk as the country's first native-born saint. Thousands attended the ceremony. Off the Southern California coast on Santa Catalina Island, a wildfire has burned 4,000 acres. At least 160 firefighters are battling the blaze, which officials say is about 10% contained. The wildfire, which has been burning in southeast Georgia for more than 3 weeks, has now burned 100,000 acres. You are listening to the Quality News Network, Science and Business Next.
This is Beyonce. For a performer, a smile is an instant reward. And once you've seen the smiles on the faces of children at Shriners Hospitals, you'll know why the Shriners have been providing their world-renowned medical care to kids for over 80 years at absolutely no charge. At Shriners Hospitals, innovative research and teaching programs are combined with specialized services and treatments for kids with orthopedic, burn, or spinal cord problems. For more information, call 1-800-237-5055. Shriners, having fun and helping kids.
Every night, Jack Thomas camps out on a cold, lonely street corner. Tonight, some people almost brought him something to eat. Someone almost drove him to a shelter. Another almost brought him a warm blanket. And Jack Thomas, he almost made it through the night. Sometimes instead of giving, we almost give. But that's the same as not giving at all. Don't almost give. Give. Visit don'talmostgive.org. A message from the Ad Council.
NASA scientists say in the future, summers in the eastern part of the United States will be much hotter than originally thought. In fact, by the mid-2080s, the study says the daily highs could be about 10 degrees warmer. The U.S. divorce rate is at its lowest since 1970. Analysts say people are waiting longer to marry and are cohabitating more. The Motion Picture Association of America will consider smoking alongside sex and violence when deciding movie ratings. Films that glamorize smoking may be given a more restrictive rating for older audiences. Former chairman of the Federal Reserve, Alan Greenspan, says he thinks there is a 1 in 3 chance that the U.S. economy will slip into a recession this year. The current Fed chairman, Ben Bernanke, has downplayed the risk of a recession. The main agency that oversees the Internet says new Internet addresses could start appearing in the summer of 2008. It will be the first expansion of general-use domain names since the year 2000. And starting Monday, the price of first-class postage stamp will jump to 41 cents. That's a 2-cent increase from the current rate. Light sweet crude is trading at $62.37 a barrel. And at the close of Wall Street this week, the Dow Jones was up 111 points, ending at 13,326. The NASDAQ was up 28, the S&P 500 up 14. There's more at our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Allie Dramov.
Okay! Tokyo!
South America!
Now, Head On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights, they're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it. So call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Six past the hour, that's six past six here on the East Coast. And you know what time it is wherever the heck you are, because you've got clocks. And you don't necessarily know. Yeah, but we've talked about that. I'm Bob Kincaid. It's Friday. It's the end of our week. You know, we'll clean up whatever's left, you know, that we haven't hit story-wise. And have a darn fine time doing it this evening. I have to tell you. Wait a second. This is an R-rated broadcast. That was the sound of me firing up a smoke. And so I suppose when we move to the when we get to the point where we're loading video of the program every evening during the show, putting it up on Google Video or YouTube or what the heck. No, it'll have to be Google Video because we'll do the whole show and you can't do it 10 minutes on YouTube. Anyway, we'll have to rate it R. Because the Motion Picture Association of America has decided that smoking earns an R rating. Now, let's go back in time. For great movies with smoking in it. There's not a single dirty word in it. There's not a drop of blood to be seen anywhere. And God knows Ingrid Bergman's the gorgeous form is completely clothed at all times. But Casablanca would be an R-rated movie according to the tobacco goons, tobacco Nazis. What do we call these people?
Oh, but Jesus, you know, Bob, they might see somebody smoking, and then a child would decide to smoke.
Bug spray. I'm in no mood for this kind of crap, and I've been inundated with it all day long. For pity's sake, the lead stories on the stinking news today have been Motion Picture Association of America to include smoking as criteria for rating a movie R. Mitt Romney. Is it fair to ask him about his magic BVDs? And so what if the judge sentenced Paris Hilton to 45 days? The jail is overcrowded and she probably won't serve it.
That's the news.
With occasional the side forays into the breathlessness of a newsreader freak.
There's a terror plot that's been uncovered in Germany. Oh my God! The terrorists.
And then, as you were listening to the Quality News Network a couple of moments ago, you found out, not so much. The terror plot announced earlier today is not as bad as what we thought it was. Of course not. Of course it isn't. More ginned up, dummied up, faked up, stupided up terror for a terrified, cowardized American population. Ugh. Oh, and by the way, I'm having trouble getting into our own chat room. I don't know why. Let's see, what's it telling me? Too many Java machines running? I don't have any Java machines running. Several Java virtual machines running in the same process caused an error. Well, I don't have several. I got one. Oh, dear, this may just be a really crappy night. I don't know. You may just want to... go watch Rachel Ray or something.
Let's make it a happy night.
It's happy. I'm happy. Are you happy? I'm happy.
Congratulations, Billy and family.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wedding.
Very definitely. Yeah, our good friend Billy Shears, who has a wonderful, wonderful posting up over at his blog at unreportednews.net, is celebrating the nuptials of his lovely, lovely daughter this weekend. I would imagine right now Billy is kind of a little shook up.
Well, our love and hope for a bright and happy future for Joey and Peter.
Absolutely.
And also, we'd like to welcome the newest member of WD40.com.
Really? We would?
Yes. Congratulations, Dookie.
Yeah, nobody tells me anything. I'm a mushroom.
I'm the one that gets the pictures. I'm the Mary, he's the Rhoda.
Oh, I'm so the Rhoda. But we'll, no, it's all right. We'll find a way. I'm sorry, it just, Mitt Romney, is it bigoted to ask him about his, I'd really like to know. The LSD church person can call maybe and tell me what do you do with the magic underwear when it gets skid marks? Can you wash, do you have to have sacred spray and wash? When you wash your magic LSD church underwear, maybe Mitt Romney could tell us, do you wash it with your other clothing, or does it have to be washed separately because it's magic underwear? I don't know. I don't know what the protocols are because I never considered my underwear to be magic or sacred or holy. Well, I've had holy underwear. I remember a couple of years in college when my sainted mother, God rest her soul, would say, "Oh, we've got to take you to the store. Your underwear is religious." And I'd say, "What?" And she'd, "Yeah, they're holy." But that's as close as I ever came to having magic BVDs, but it's in gen it's it, it, it I saw it on a couple of different channels. It's engendered this business of is it fair to ask Mitt Romney about that? Sure it is. Is it bigoted to no? Well, I guess if you believe one set of fantastic, incredible, utterly nobody in their right mind would believe it stuff, and you think that somebody else's set of fantastic, utterly incredible, nobody but would believe it stuff is wrong, then that's religious bigotry. That's bigotry of one fool against another. As for me, I don't think there's anything bigoted whatsoever about saying that a person who believes his underwear has magic power has no business trying to be the chief executive of a country of some, what, 290-300 million people. And leading those people for anywhere from 4 to 8 years. That they have no business there. They have no business in government. They need to be somewhere where they can believe their fantasies and not hurt anybody. But the presidency is not one of those places. The presidency, as we have found out, happens to be a very, very dangerous place to put someone who believes that who believes in magic and ghosts and devils and demons and angels and dancing on tap dancing and doing the holy boogaloo on the head of a pin and how many and why. Very dangerous. So yeah, I mean it's kind of a shame because nobody will really ask the hard question, and that is, what is a guy who believes in incredible, insane stuff doing running for the presidency, and why has he not been run out of the contest already? How did this goober get to be, governor of Massachusetts? The heck was wrong with the Massachusetts people? But please, it's not just, it's not just the LSD church people. Am I saying that wrong? That doesn't sound right. LDS. Oh, my God. LDS, not LSD. Sorry, it was my dyslexia kicking in. Never mind. There was a joke there, but it couldn't quite fully form, and it had to be aborted. But no, I mean, it's not just Mitt Romney and his sacred underwear. It's a lot of other things. This business about the old anti-aircraft gunner brought a saint to Brazil today. Really? He brought a saint? Okay. The guy was canonized. He's been dead since the 1700s. According to the Associated Press, seated on a throne of Brazilian hardwood and surrounded by Latin American bishops and choirs of hundreds, the old German anti-aircraft gunner pronounced the sainthood of Antonio de Santa Ana Galvão, an 18th century Franciscan monk who is credited by the church with 5,000 miracle cures. Oddly enough, not credited by any physicians or scientists or people of reason and common sense with curing anything. Yeah, hey, wait. Rational, reasonable people. You're going to love this. You know how he cured him? He gave them magic pills. Really? This dude gave 5,000 people magic pills made out of rice? Is that it? Rice? Yeah? Let's see. He died in 1822... Okay, we got a problem here. It's an 18th century Franciscan monk, but he died in 1822. Then that would make him a 19th century Franciscan monk. That's a miracle! To this day, Brazilian nuns still toil in the Sao Paulo Monastery, where Galvão is buried, preparing thousands of tiny pills. Gee, I remember when the sinus medicine had thousands of tiny time pills. What was that? Contact? Yeah. For free daily distribution, each tiny time pill carries these words. After birth, the Virgin remained intact. Mother of God, intercede on our behalf. Woo! Boy, I tell you, you can't beat that, can you? And oddly enough, it's not curing anybody today. But then again, it's far enough removed in time that, you know, it's kind of... But no, it didn't cure anybody back then either. It's fantasy. The only people, those little tiny time pills with Mother of God, you remained a virgin even after you gave birth. The only people that cured were people who weren't sick in the first place, or whose only sickness was in their little noggins. So that's what the old anti-aircraft gunner did today. Interestingly, however, he did something else a couple of days ago, and that's why we had to have all the incense and bells and whistles today. Because a couple of days ago... Benny, the old anti-aircraft gunner, who tried to murder, you know, American, British, Canadian flyers going overhead, trying to defeat the Nazi monster that Benny served. Benny made a little bit of a stink with his comments. When he said that the people, the Mexican leaders in Mexico City who had voted to allow women to see to their own medical well-being and make their own medical choices, when he agreed with the bishops in Mexico City who said, well, they've excommunicated themselves, and he agreed. Okay, so they asked him, do you agree? And he said, yeah. Okay. So, after answering yeah to that question, he went on and he said, the excommunication was not something arbitrary. It is part of the code, the canon law code. That's what we need. Jack, a little cold water on the back of the neck and the code. So... then it turns around. I don't know. Maybe the Vatican's getting to be a little bit like the White House because they had to turn around and explain what he really meant. Reverend Federico Lombardi said in a statement issued later on Wednesday that Benny, the old anti-aircraft gunner who served the Nazi monster, didn't intend to formally excommunicate anyone. Because that requires, like, you know, you have to get out the House of Whoville hat and the lace dresses, and everybody stands around with candles, and thou art anathema. You cannot have the sacred Ritz cracker anymore. You cannot be buried in a churchyard. You know, that kind of stupidity. You're not in the club anymore, damn it. So then, by yesterday, the Vatican came out again and said, here's what they did. It was just like what happens at the White House. They released an edited transcript. Now the transcript of the question and answer session aboard Pope One, or whatever he calls the airplane that he flies around on. Why can't he just get from one place to another with a miracle? I don't know. Not my club. They edited the transcript and took out the answer yes. In other words, they had to have a linguistic miracle. And I guess they just traveled in time, and when the question was asked, he just sat there as mute as a stump and didn't say yes like he did the first time to the question of whether the Mexican lawmakers had excommunicated themselves. The hell business is it of this old anti-aircraft gunner, whether a woman can go in after she's been raped, or after daddy's knocked her up, and get the hateful seed taken out of her womb? What business is it of his? God only knows how many little boys and little girls he's abused in his life. You know, I mean, but I guess I'm just crazy that way, aren't I? Well, okay, that's where we start. And but there, oh God, there's so much more. We are going to wrap up some other stuff we haven't gotten to in the last few days, namely the Georgia's new United States Agency for International Development nominee. She is a woman of some rare wit and rarer words. Oh, you can wait till you hear this. It's just beautiful. The phone number, of course, you know, is 877-443-2366. That's toll-free to you. If you can cover it on your own nickel, it's 304-658-5453. Either way works fine. Email comes roaring into Bob at headonradio.com. You're listening to America's liberal voice. You're listening to The Horn. And I'm that guy. I'm Bob.
So I just stare at the stain on the wall where the TV been, but ever since we moved in, it's been empty.
The United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competency and training. UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business anytime and every time. It's their job to provide manpower. They build partnerships based on respect and trust. They provide skilled, responsible millwrights and carpenters to meet the challenge of any project because they believe and what they're doing and are so very committed to getting each and every job done right. They include a clause in your contract that eliminates work slowdown and jurisdictional disputes because they believe that, as professionals, they can discuss and solve any problem while keeping your project on target on time. We'd like to take this opportunity to thank the men and women of the United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights for building the American dream and saving the American dream. Thank you.
As I understand the conflict right now between the president's bill and the one supported by the Democrats, John McCain and Lindsey Graham, is that John McCain and Lindsey Graham and the Democrats say that the bill, the standards we use, should be the standards that are the same as the treaty we signed, the Geneva Convention signed after World War II that every civilized nation follows. And the president is saying, that restricts me too much. That's too humane. I want to be able to do other things. I won't say what they are, but sources tell us that things like waterboarding, you know, drowning people, putting them in 50-degree weather. And the question, I think, is should we hold the United States to the same standards that England holds itself to, that Canada holds itself to, that other civilized nations hold themselves to?
Get the view from inside the Beltway with Mark Levine on the Radio Inside Scoop. Right here, 2 to 3 p.m. weekdays on the Head On Radio Network.
This is a message from NoMoreVictims.org.
In the spirit of Mother's Day and its origin, you can help a child this year by donating to No More Victims as a gift to your mother this Mother's Day. No More Victims brings war-injured Iraqi children to the United States to receive the medical treatment they need. You will help bring Sally, who lost both of her legs in the war in Iraq.
My mother used to say all the time, I look after people's kids because one day I know somebody will look after my kids. I feed people's kids because I know somebody one day will feed my kids. That informs a lot of who I am as a mother. That I know that I'm not only parenting Mavis and Duncan, but I'm responsible for every child that comes through.
Honor your mother. Go to NoMoreVictims.org. Give today.
This
is the Head On Radio Network, The Horn.
This is Billy Shears. Join me every Friday at 11 on Foxed Up with John Fox. Each week, I'll feature an artist and a song with a little commentary. And we'll examine why music plays such an important role in our social and political climate. We'll try and make it fun, informative, and entertaining. That's here on the Head On Radio Network, The Horn, with John Fox, every Friday at 11 a.m. And for music and political commentary by great liberal minds, check out my website at unreportednews.net. This is Billy Shears, and hey, thanks for lending an ear.
The difference between what I do on my show and what all the right-wing types do on their shows is very simple. I'm not going to lie to you. That doesn't mean you're going to agree with me about everything or that you're going to like hearing everything I have to say, but I will guarantee you that when I say something on my show, I say it because I mean it and I believe it, and I'm not just saying it to get you riled up and to boost my ratings. No potty mouth, no trash talking, no BS, just the straight truth as I see it, because the lies may sound good for a while, but the truth is there forever. It's not always pleasant, it's not always nice, sometimes it's hard to see through all the crap, but it's there. And that's what you're going to get from me, and that's why you should listen to my show. The Cup of Joe Radio Show, Mondays and Fridays from noon to 2 Eastern Standard Time on the Head On Radio Network.
Sorry for the length of that break. No secrets here. We were killing time. We were. Agnes, we were. We were killing time till I could get this confounded, flab-nasted, blag-staggin', not-pole-frazzle-lackin' computer restarted. Because I didn't have any Java applications running, but it was telling me I had too many Java applications running, which is like mathematics that I don't comprehend. So I've got the little sucker rebooted, and we're going to try to get into the chat room again. A little heads up for you. Coming up at the top of the next hour, right out of the news, we're going to have a guest on, a new friend stop by. I like to think of the people who come by to share their information with you as new friends. And that new friend is the author of With God on Our Side. He is also the founder and president of the Military Religious Freedom Foundation. His name is Mike Weinstein. You may have heard him before on Mark Levine's program some months back. He's trying to speak up for religious liberty in the military, or the liberty to be, for that matter, irreligious. Because under the Bush administration, the military has been turned into one great big evangelical mega church. And it's really pretty disgusting. And he will be joining us to talk about that fight right after the top of the hour news. Right now, though, let's go to the phones. Our good friend David joins us from Maine. Hey, David, welcome to the program.
Good evening, Bob.
How are you?
I'm fine. I just wanted to see if you checked out the Wayne Madsen report today.
No, I didn't. I haven't been by there in a couple of... I saw something bizarre there the other day. What was it I saw there?
Yeah. About the Cheney and the D.C.
Oh, yeah. That's what it was.
Apparently, though, a lot of people are getting really, really agitated by this, and he's got some blowback. And wouldn't you know it, Smokey the Bear is mad at Wayne Madsen.
Say what?
The talk radio show in the area, Warden. I think the guy's name is Jackson Weaver.
Or, uh-huh.
Yeah, Jackson Weaver. He was the voice for Smokey the Bear.
Oh, for heaven's sakes.
Now
only you can prevent forest fires.
Now it's ruined the whole thing. And get those commies afterwards. I mean, you have ad-libs in your head now.
Yeah.
You have, like, a McCarthy book in his right hand. And you just have all these visuals in your head. I'm sorry for that, people, but...
Only you can throw commies forest fires.
So you might want to have Wayne Madsen on next week and find out what's the latest and greatest of that, because I think that's a story that no one's going to pick up on, but the independent media is going to have to get the ball running on this one.
Well, let me ask you a question, David.
Yeah.
Well, okay, let me preface this, okay, because, you know, I'm inclined to believe that Dick Cheney probably used the services of the Spank Me Madam. You know, because after all, these were all legal activities.
He probably did, yeah.
But, see, I'm so, and I admit it, I despise that man so much. I mean, I really wouldn't. If he was laying there on the ground burning up, I would not pee in his mouth to put out a fire in his gut, okay?
Yeah,
I wouldn't do it.
That's an FCC violation right there, I think.
It could be. Thank God we're not on over-the-air radio. I'm at least honest about it, because
right.
I would if Wayne Madsen also published that Dick Cheney had been caught sneaking into the D.C. area blood bank to drink it by the pint, I would believe that too.
Right.
My question then is what level of, because you know when I read it, it was like, you know, deep sources, you know, blah blah blah. Bug spray. I want this stuff sourced before I'm going to put my credibility on the line. You know what I mean?
Right, right. I hear you. I understand that. And I think the problem is that all of these people, and I now you've had Wayne Madsen on the program, or was it Tom Hartman?
Bruce Birch had him on the program.
Probably was Tom Hartman. But anyways, what happens is a lot of people, they get excited about a source or something. You know, it's the same thing with the 9/11, and they don't have a original source, and the problem is I don't think that a lot of people understand that you can't just go by the anonymous sources anymore. It's getting less and less more uncredible, because at the same time you have the Free Republic guys doing the same thing. Did you see what they did this week?
Oh yeah, I've got that on the list. But yeah,
oh,
let's
got that on the list.
Let's go ahead and hit it though, David.
All right.
The Freepers. In conjunction with some right-wing blab fest that's on XM satellite radio,
right,
created out of whole cloth an utter and absolute lie, namely that at 5 a.m., Kathleen Sebelius, Democratic governor of Kansas, was telephoned by Governor Dean, Dr. Dean, Howard Dean, to tell her how to spin the tornado in Greensburg, Kansas, to make it look bad for George Bush and the war in Iraq. Now, as a consequence of that, the Democratic National Committee sent a cease and desist letter to XM and to Freeperville.
I went to Free Republic.
Yeah.
And I was looking there, and guess what? That wasn't on the front page. But guess what? This is going to make you laugh. That wasn't on the front page. But Warren Zevon's ex-wife lists that Warren would go into a tirade and all of this, and I was like, this is bugged out. You put that on the front page, but you're not afraid to go after your own discredit. You just want to hide after that.
But that's what they. I mean, Free Republic is a sleazy, nasty place.
You see what it is, though. They usually bask in it. But this is the problem. Is they probably know. They deep down know inside who probably did this story. They know it's a lie. They can't hide behind a Photoshop. They can't hide behind an email address or something, or whatever. They know. Apparently, who did it, and they're like, well, we can't run with this because we can't even defend this.
But they do it anyway. I mean, that's what makes these people so sleazy. They had a noon cutoff deadline, according to the cease and desist letter from counsel for the DNC, and they let it go by.
Mm.
And it was still up on the website at the XM radio, the particular show, and it was still up at Freeperville.
Yeah, I don't know what to say about that story. You know, it's one of those stories where it's like, there's not much you can do with it. You can just say, why don't you guys admit and be a man, and you just got to keep it moving, I guess.
Because they can't. Above all things, they can't admit that they were wrong. Because, you know, they're conservatives, and therefore they're never wrong. I'm not being a smartass about that, David.
Yeah,
these are authoritarian types. Anybody who read John Dean's book and the science, the social science that went into the background to it, understands that by virtue of being authoritarians, right-wingers by definition cannot admit to being wrong.
I think we have to they're role-playing authoritarians, because they're never going to be in any type of power whatsoever. They're going to be like those comic book conventions, dressed up as the power neoconservatives or whatever.
Yeah, like the
thing you want to call them, because they're never going to get it.
The convention scenes from Galaxy Quest.
That's all it is. It's, you know.
Well, unfortunately, they are in power, David.
No, I mean the people on Free. What I'm saying is the people on Free.
Oh yeah, they're just cannon fodder for the culture war.
Right. Oh, and that brings me to interesting the story that I called to talk about tonight. I was listening to this radio show, the Jerry Doyle show.
Oh, Jerry Doyle is a friend of astronauts. Jerry Doyle had a long and successful run on Babylon 5.
Right.
He's a former, yeah.
Right, that guy. Yeah. Anyways, he had, I guess he's gotten a little bit of stir over what he said to John Zogby. He said that when John Zogby, he has so many gaffes, but he said to John Zogby, he said when they were talking about Arabs, he goes, I guess that was the straw that broke the camel's back. And Zogby just said, you know, that's a poor choice of words.
I can't believe you said that.
That's what he said. But then today, okay, this is the line. This is the culture frame that they're going to run with. Okay, because you have to understand, Doyle, he's like one of those moderate on the fence type guys where he'll go this way and then he'll go after him or whatever. I mean, he's a salesman. Remember, he's a Wall Street broker,
yeah,
trader, whatever. So, you know, I don't fault him. That he wants to get the money or whatever. But the thing that he was saying was, he goes, he was bringing up the point that, oh, man.
That's okay. That's okay.
Yeah.
Believe me, it happens to me at least three times a night, David.
Yeah. Well, he was trying to bring up the point that everyone was being hypersensitive. That's the political frame that they're going to use now. You're going to hear this word a lot more, because what he does is, you have to pay attention to people on the radio. What they'll do, he's number eight. See, that's not known either. He's number eight on the national radio list. Okay, so he's...
Well, you know, a long time ago when my old granddad would sit me on his knee, he'd say, son, when you grow up, always try to be number eight.
Well, no, I mean, when you're number eight and you've only been on the radio for, I don't know, 3 or 4 years?
Yeah.
It's an accomplishment. He had the backing and all of that.
Yeah, that means there's been a tremendous PR hustle behind
him. Right. But what I'm saying is, and he also has Talk Radio Network behind him. So, but what I'm saying is when you have something like that, he's always looking at the talking points and throwing it in there for, like, little subliminal suggestions. And one of the ones I want people to pay attention to is the hypersensitive line, because this is going to be a deflector. You're going to hear it, Bob. This is going to be a deflector when you bring up the torture issue, when you bring up the profiling issue, and they won't get to the real issues.
You're just being too sensitive.
No, they'll say hypersensitive.
Oh, I'm sorry, hypersensitive.
You're being hypersensitive. But, you know, the funny thing about that is even if it's true, okay, say it's true, well, whatever. But even if it's true, aren't you being hypersensitive in a post-9/11 world? If I'm in a pre-9/11 world, aren't you being hypersensitive? See, and that's the problem. We can't get to, again, this echo chamber, this sound barrier, this sound loop, the people that want the money, the endorsements, the advertising, they rule the frame of the political culture that we live in right now. And anytime we bring it up, watch somebody's reaction. They'll say, but, and you'll start to hear it on the streets, or you'll hear a variation of it. They're testing it out right now. That's the kind of feel I'm getting for it right now. But when I was listening to him, it seemed like he read it off somewhere or something. But the hypersensitive thing is something that people should definitely pay attention to, and it's going to come into the news world more. They're going to do those rhetorical questions.
Yeah.
Do you think the Arab Institute is being hypersensitive?
Yeah.
That's what they did. I mean, when he had that, when he had this woman on, and she, her reaction, I loved her reaction. She really took it to him. She said, I don't know what you mean by hypersensitive. I didn't call to have this conversation. She said, I'm specifically to address the Arab culture and the rights that they have as a citizen. And that's what she was trying to get to. But he was really on this rampant because, again, he's the salesman of the language. He was on this rampant and go, yeah, but hypersensitive. So, you know, that's something.
Well, again, I have no problem with people because of what clan or tribe they identify themselves with. Frankly, the fact that there are people out there who are of Arabic descent who don't run around screaming for fatwas and jihads and whatnot tells me that what we have is a religion problem and not a human being problem. Okay.
Right.
You look at Palestine and you realize that as long as it's treated as a religion problem, oh, it's the Jews versus the Palestinians. Sunday.
You know, it's not an issue that can.
It's a real estate problem. If you get religion out of it, you can sort it out and get away from it. Okay. Regardless of what religion it is, we are freaked out. I mean, we are freak poor in this country with religious fanatics, and there's going to be some proof of it coming up at 5 minutes past the hour here, you know, about 15-20 minutes or so.
Right.
When Mike Weinstein starts talking about what his hard work to get, you know, and people want to believe what people want to believe. Now, I just happen to be one of these people who absolutely will not associate himself with an organized religion because I am smarter than 99% of the religious leaders out there. I know I'm 1,000 times smarter than James Dobson. I know I'm smarter than Falwell. I know I'm smarter than any preacher in the state of West Virginia and probably the country. Why would I want to be part of their religion? You know,
yeah.
So it's the religious quality, if Doyle's out there asking questions about are Arabs hypersensitive or something like that,
yeah,
that means he is deliberately screwing the message on a racist bent. Because he knows he doesn't have the guts to go after the root of the problem, which is the religion. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Does that make any sense at all?
Yeah, it makes sense, and I also think, you know, the root of the problem is also the poverty we've inflicted for hundreds and thousands of years, or whatever the amount is. I think that's another problem that a lot of people don't want to address. They think, well, it's not my problem. Those crazy people are at it again. You know what?
They've been killing each other for 5,000 years.
Right. This is a constant thing that every time. When we discuss this, when we bring up the Arabs, that this is something that always comes back to it. People always say, well, they're just Muslims or whatever. And the problem is that, again, if you do this, I'm telling you people, if you do this, if you say, put yourself in their place. You have no money, you have no food. They'll just start, you know, sighing and getting nervous and jittery because they can't take it. When you pop that bubble, and if you do find a way to pop it, the first reaction you'll get is anger. And then, no, the first reaction you'll get is kind of like disbelief. And then, oh, there you go, you crazy kook or whatever. And then angry. Because what they'll realize what you're saying is you're injecting a little bit of truth, which is what poverty and genocide and cultural imperialism does it makes you go just a tad bit crazy.
Sure it will. And that's what, you know, that's what made it so important, what Adam Neiman from NoSweatshop.com was talking about the other night. His outreach effort to market those, you know, the organic cotton T-shirts from the Palestinian sewing factory in the occupied lands.
Right.
He's empowering people. These people have a little bit of money. They have a little bit of hope. They have a little they have a little bit of well-being to them. And when you do that way, you make it incredibly entirely less likely that anybody's going to want to strap dynamite on and go blow themselves up on a bus.
You know the term I use it for this country and for anyone who wants to when you're in a debating situation and someone brings up such a little minor, just they're not even seeing the whole picture. I call it emotional flinching. If you can't have a critical thought debate on this, you don't really want to discuss this, and you're what I call a time management conservative. Okay, now
that's a great term.
Now that that's out of the way, let's go to this one. Housing. Oh yeah, those bums need to pay for it. Okay, let's go to housing. Not housing now. Weapons. Oh yeah, we need more weapons because these people are crazy. You know.
Time management
conservative.
That's beautiful. That's a beautiful thing, Dave. Yeah, yeah. But you know, you've been talking about Jerry Doyle, and you know, I hate for this to be like a gossip fest or whatever.
Right.
But you know, he's another one of those intellectually dishonest people who I'm an independent now. I used to be a Republican. I'm not a Republican anymore. It's okay. You can listen to me. I'm not a Republican, and yet all the filth that comes out of his mouth is pure Republican garbage.
Well, like I said, I studied the psychological profile. Always keep in mind that with someone like that, why is he so? Why is he so on the offense of getting any kind of person that's, you know, this bent? Well, you got to keep in mind, he was adopted. We're already going down the treacherous track, Bob. He was adopted, and then his father was killed as a policeman.
Mm-hmm.
See? So something like that is going to make someone, you know, go on the ultra-right side as it is. You either go to the ultra-right or to the ultra-left in a case like that.
I guess is that a necessity? Do you have to? But
well, I mean, when you and he also grew up in an environment. Again, he was thrown. Well, he grew up in Brooklyn or something. He grew up in Brooklyn. He was adopted. You know, he wanted to believe in the He believed so much in the conservative ideology that someone like that. I mean, he's an outsider, really. If you think about it, he didn't come from a rich family.
No.
He was just lucky enough to get in a situation where he got a role on a sci-fi show, and that springboarded to his talk career. That's really all it is. And I think the problem is a lot of people, there are a lot of conservatives like that who are so insecure. And I know that's why they chose that, because, you know, they figure, I'm finally one of them. But, you know, it doesn't matter what it is. It all depends on your lineage and your blood, really. When it really comes down to it, that's how you're going to really be accepted. I mean, they'll still talk behind your back. Yeah, but he grew up in I hear he grew up in the Bronx. Yeah, I don't know about his family.
Yeah.
You know that's how it is, and I think people, you know, they don't understand. And going back to what I was saying about people going crazy, and people don't understand it. Well, if you look to this week, a constitutional court, this is going to drive Agnes probably crazy and you crazy. But a constitutional court in South Africa ruled that anal rape isn't rape.
Stop it.
I'm serious.
No.
Yes. I'll send you the link to it. It was on.
No, I don't doubt you. I mean,
I know it's hard.
But
to
is this like one of those lower level weirdo courts, like? Like impose the death penalty on Richard Gere for kissing a woman in public? I mean, is that what this is?
Well, I don't know, because Ross Story said it was a constitutional court, and see the way they framed the headline. But just the fact that a court ruled that anal rape wasn't rape. I mean, but again, I don't. I mean, we could very easily be headed down that road.
In terms of legalistic hair splitting and that kind of.
Exactly. Like I said, time management conservatives. Well, that's not rape.
Yeah. Well, you know, that wasn't a hooker Dick Cheney visited.
Yeah, that wasn't a hooker Dick. So what we're dealing is, again, it's all of time management, all of these issues, all of these talking points, and people think, and see, this is the problem. It's like Terry Gilliam's The Brazil. You just keep stacking the papers, you know, and it just keeps going and going and going and going in his office. I don't know if you've seen that movie. And it's just like towering and looming, like just teetering overhead. And that's what's going to happen to the conservative mindset. And what we're going to have, what's going to happen in 20 or 30 years is you're going to get this ultra, ultra aggressive progressive. I didn't mean that to rhyme, truthfully.
Yeah.
But you're going to get that.
It just worked out that way.
And it's
going
to be the worst nightmare for a lot of people. And it's going to be the worst nightmare for a lot of moderate liberals, too, because they're going to be, oh, my God, how did we get this way? Well, we got this way because people were continuing to pressure and continuing to box people in and continuing to taunt people. And that's what's going to happen.
If you poke something with a sharp stick long enough, yeah.
Think about it. Look what happened to Ireland. Right?
Yeah.
Ireland is going to a progressive mindset now.
Yeah, there's no arguing the fact that what has happened in Ireland has been a progressive liberal undertaking. And it's both sides deciding that there was enough blood, there was enough death, there was enough maiming and enough mayhem, enough torture and torment, and that they that the two sides, the Protestants and the Catholics, oh look, it's religion again, huh? Decided they would finally quit poking each other with a sharp stick.
And what we can learn from the conservative era and all of that, all of those cultural clashes that they had with themselves and ourselves, is what we can learn is when we do get those, when we're able to frame that and influence that beyond just the media and the eye candy, as we like to call it, so, you know, it treats us like a minstrel show or something. All those liberals, look at them on TV again. But what we can do is we can think about every single day we should appreciate when we have that progressive era, and we should never take it for granted ever again.
No, and we should never let it fall by the wayside.
Right, and if it,
that's the other thing. You know, I finished up the program more or less last night talking about the fairness doctrine and why I think it's a real loser for liberals and progressives to start hollering for the fairness doctrine again.
Mm-hmm.
That's why there's no progressive or liberalism in going backwards to something like that, because what happened to us in the first place is the conservatives, we sat by.
Right.
You know, the liberals and progressives just sort of sat there while the conservatives came out and screamed that that there was a liberal media, that it wasn't fair because we weren't people weren't treating their conservative backward-assed ideas with the same regard that you'd treat an intelligent idea.
You know, it probably wouldn't.
And we just sat there, David.
It wouldn't have probably happened as intensely as it did if we had the internet. Out of the internet in 1980. What was Gore doing in 1980? It was a little bit slow on that one, wasn't it?
Yeah, but it was just a baby back then. I mean,
right? No, I'm joking. Cause
yeah, I know. But I remember coming home from college and playing Zork on a TRS-80 or a Commodore 64 or something. Oh yeah, I played Zork.
I remember, you know, Bob. I remember being excited when I was playing Centipede, and I was like, oh my God! It doesn't have a joystick. It has a rollerball.
Yeah, it's a.
It's like this is.
It's a whole new world.
And you know, I mean, and again, people are taking. Again, the kids have grown up in this evolution of technology. They didn't grow up in, like, they're removed from it. So when they come into this, they'll take everything for granted. So that's why we have to constantly be. We constantly have to be on the defense and be like, or rather on the offense, and tell people, look, this is how it was with this is how it was in 1980. You got to remember, this is how it was in 1980. This is how it was in 1981. This is how it was in 79. You just constantly have to remember people, and you say, you never know when things can switch and turn on you. There is a pivotal moment.
Yeah, maybe what we do with our youngsters is we unplug their PlayStations and their Xbox 360s and their Wiis and so forth, and overnight we just replace them all with the Atari Pong system.
Yeah, we replace it with the
Atari. It can get worse.
We start with the abacus, and then we move forward again.
It's nothing but Space Invaders for you, kid.
Nothing but Space Invaders and Dig Dug.
Oh, God, not Dig Dug. Hey, David, we got to roll.
All right, Bob.
Have a great weekend. This
was
fun.
Nice talking to you.
Bye now.
Music. Peace.
All right, we'll do.
Later.
Nothing but Pong. That was a hell of a Pong player, I want you to know. All right, news is next. Then our conversation with Mike Weinstein. Yes. Author of With God on Our Side, coming up at about 5 past the hour. You're listening to America's Liberal Voice. You're listening to The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid.
This is the Quality News Network. The day after Southern California firefighters got the upper hand on a huge wildfire in Griffith Park, they are now gaining control on another fire. The main city of Avalon on Santa Catalina Island is out of immediate danger. The blaze charred more than 4,000 acres, and residents who were evacuated yesterday will be allowed to return today. The wildfire, which has been burning in southeast Georgia for more than 3 weeks, has now burned 100,000 acres. In Florida and Georgia, there are more than 200 wildfires burning. In Missouri, sandbagging continues as floodwaters rise, threatening homes and farms, leading to more evacuations. In Iraq, 10 people were killed in 2 suicide bombings in southeastern Baghdad. 53 were wounded. The attacks targeted police patrols near 2 bridges. Vice President Dick Cheney issued a strong warning to Iran today. He said the U.S. would not allow the country to develop nuclear weapons or get the upper hand in the region. The vice president was aboard an aircraft carrier in the Persian Gulf as part of his trip to the Middle East. Yesterday, Iran blocked United Nations atomic experts from inspecting an underground nuclear site. Iran is refusing demands by the U.N. to stop enriching uranium. A day after he announced when he will step down as prime minister, Britain's Tony Blair offered an endorsement to his successor, Gordon Brown. Blair will leave office on June 27th after 10 years in power. The threat of a terrorist attack in Germany is now being downplayed. A senior Pentagon official called it nothing new, according to CNN. ABC News had reported that U.S. and German law officials feared there would be an attack and U.S. military personnel or tourists may be the targets. The German Interior Minister is quoted as saying the information behind the threat is very real. The 6 Muslim men accused of plotting to attack New Jersey's Fort Dix were ordered today to be held without bail. They were arrested earlier this week after a 15-month FBI investigation. An open-air mass in Brazil today, Pope Benedict canonized an 18th-century monk as the country's first native-born saint. This is QNN.
Most people would rather have a root canal than go to a dealer to buy a car. But you can turn dread into joy when you learn how to play the car buying game. Read the book, Right Car, Right Price, and you'll discover how the game is played and how you can win every time. Whether you're buying a car or a truck, new or used, Right Car, Right Price explains how to find and buy the vehicle best suited to your individual transportation needs. Auto Week called Right Car, Right Price the right stuff. So take the hassle out of car buying. Read Right Car, Right Price, and every time you get into your new car, you'll know you've got a great deal. Go online to rightcarrightprice.com to order your copy today. It only takes an hour to read Right Car, Right Price, and it just costs $10. We even pay the postage. So go to rightcarrightprice.com right now. It'll be one of the best decisions you ever make.
NASA scientists say in the future, summers in the eastern part of the United States will be much hotter than originally thought. In fact, by the mid-2080s, the study says the daily highs could be about 10 degrees warmer. According to a Michigan University study, cardiologists have been told that iPods held close to the chest may make pacemakers malfunction. The report found iPod interference may result in misdiagnosis by the heart doctors. The U.S. divorce rate is at its lowest since 1970. Experts say that's mostly because couples are marrying less and living together more. The Motion Picture Association of America will consider smoking alongside sex and violence when deciding movie ratings. Films that glamorize smoking may be given a more restrictive rating. Former chairman of the Federal Reserve, Alan Greenspan, said he thinks there is a 1 in 3 chance that the U.S. economy will slip into a recession this year. The current Fed chairman, Ben Bernanke, his successor, has downplayed the risk of a recession. Light sweet crude oil has been trading at the $64 a barrel mark today. It is currently trading at $64.16. The Dow Jones had a record close today. It is now up 111 points. This is the Quality News Network. I'm Claudia Eisman.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
Five and a half minutes after the hour, I'm Bob Kincaid. It's Friday, working our way toward our weekend. It's probably already your weekend, wherever you are. Not mine yet, not for a couple more hours. On the phone with us right now, we have a person I consider to be a heroic type of American. Mike Weinstein is with us. I'm sorry, I hate messing up people's names. Mike Weinstein is with us. He's the author of With God on Our Side, and is fighting a battle to bring religious liberty to the United States military. And it's pretty much of a war you're in, isn't it, Mike?
It is. Please call me Mikey. The only one that calls me Mike or Michael is my wife when she gets pissed off. So.
Okay, Mikey it is, though. Let there be no confusion.
Excellent.
I'm really glad to have you with us. You took your battle to Iowa City, Iowa, yesterday. Is that correct?
The answer is yes and no. We actually took it to Des Moines because...
Oh, I'm sorry.
We knew that the Des Moines Register would cover us, and that newspaper is read by all 25, you know, declared presidential candidates because, you know, the Iowa caucuses in January, they want to see what Iowans are thinking. Iowa City is about 2.5 hours away. That's why I was almost afraid I couldn't do the show today. We're representing a 100% disabled veteran, disabled because of a long history of extremely painful kidney stones. For anybody in your listening audience who's ever had one, I've had two. And I remember the first 30 minutes, I thought I was going to die, and then the next, you know, succeeding hours, I wanted to die.
You just wished you could, right.
Oh, it's unbelievably painful. They are denying him pain medication. They just did it again about 15 minutes ago. He expects, you know, he's an Orthodox Jew, which means that Shabbat, the Sabbath, is coming, and he expects he'll probably end up in the emergency room tonight. He's in tremendous pain. And what it is, he had the intestinal fortitude, the courage to stand up and go out and stand up about the fact that this VA hospital is, I mean, I spoke to an ABC news reporter yesterday who walked in and said, my God, it looks like a church in here. And he was being constantly, aggressively proselytized. He was being reviled. He was being repulsed. He was being made sport of. And, I mean, he was hooked up, in addition to his kidney machine, stone, terrible problem. He was having horrible heart palpitations and angina. And twice when he was hooked up to heart monitoring machine, the Evangelical Assemblies of God VA chaplains were proselytizing him. He had to scream for the nurses to try to make them go away. So he stood up, and, you know, he's being retaliated against. So I'm not sure what we're going to do. We're on the phone with our lawyers now about possibly getting, this radio show is perfect timing, getting federal court intervention, maybe a protest march onto the hospital. It's just unbelievable that something like this could happen in the year 2007 in this country. But given who's in charge of this country right now, I guess I should ask, is it really that hard to believe?
Are we? Yeah. My ability to be surprised by any of this garbage has long since sort of been beaten out of me. I used to, Mikey, I used to be surprised. I was horrified when I saw what was coming, but in many ways, I was talking to another gentleman the other night, and he said, you know, I expected it to be bad. I never expected it to be this bad.
You know, I was in the White House for over 3 years in the early to mid-80s. I was on one of Reagan's attorneys, and in fact, I was the committee management officer for the Iran-Contra investigation. And, you know, I look back now, and I think it was Soren Kierkegaard who made the famous statement that we all live our lives forward, but we understand them looking backwards. And I look now, and I could see what was coming. I just didn't, just like you, I couldn't believe it would be of this magnitude. And even, you know, I've written a book, you know, called With God on Our Side, One Man's War Against an Evangelical Coup in America's Military, which is basically a primal scream to America to wake up. I mean, most Americans are docile and supine. They might occasionally generate enough energy to, I don't know, spend, you know, three chilly nights on an air mattress in front of Circuit City to make sure they get their PlayStation 3. But, you know, our country never always used to be like that. We actually used to care about things. And the book is at Barnes & Noble's. It's at Borders. It's on our website. I've formed, as you know, a nonprofit foundation that's representing this this veteran in Iowa, as well as, well, we've had over 4,200 members of the U.S. Marine Corps, Navy, Army, and Air Force come to us as tormentees. The foundation's name is the Military Religious Freedom Foundation. For the listeners that want to go get the whole story, it's at www.militaryreligiousfreedom.org. But the amazing thing is about 96% of those coming to us are Christians. Three-fourths are traditional Protestants, Presbyterians, Lutherans, Methodists, Episcopalians, even Assemblies of God. We have Church of Christ, even Baptists. The other one-fourth of that 96% are generally Roman Catholic. The remaining 4 or 5% will be, you know, Jewish, Muslim, Buddhist, Hindu, Wiccan, Jain, Baha'i, atheist, agnostic, but it's basically this subset of evangelical Christianity, because we're not at war with Christianity, the legions that I lead, nor even evangelical Christianity. We have many evangelical Christians that support us, like the lead fired U.S. attorney out here in New Mexico, Dave Iglesias,
right,
one of my closest friends, a devout, born-again Christian and Republican who's completely supported us. In fact, when David was first fired, he and I went to lunch at P.F. Chang's. I was worried they was fired because of his support for us. But the people we're going after are, it's a small subset of evangelical Christians.
Well, is this the bunch that, idolizes people like Jerry Boykin?
Oh, absolutely. The long technical name, and I promise I'll just say it once on the show this afternoon, this evening, is they're called premillennial dispensational reconstructionist dominionist evangelical fundamentalist Christians, or just dominionist Christians. Their leaders are Falwell. They're well known. Robertson, Dr. James Dobson,
James Kennedy down at Coral Snake Ministries.
Yes, exactly, yeah. Exactly. D. James Kennedy, John Hagee, used to be Ted Haggard before he had a sudden career change. You know, giving a whole new phrase to the meaning to the phrase, I guess, Satan, get thee behind me.
Well, yeah, and we've referred to him frequently as America's leading crystal Methodist.
Yeah, that's true.
But I try really hard, Mikey, to and I get a lot of flack for it, because I try to come at this from a rationalist, a reasonable, you know, common sense, what I can prove, see, touch, taste, feel with my five given senses kind of approach on this. I'm a First Amendment kind of guy. I want people to believe what they want to believe. If they want to worship a little man on Mars, that's cool by me. Just don't make me.
Exactly, Bob. You know, like I said, this is a situation where we basically have documented, there's 10,000 plus or minus, give or take, religions on the planet. Most of them have some guy, female or male, that have written an invisible book, and they're all in opposition with each other. But, you know, the beautiful part of America is that we don't have a national religious faith. Our founding fathers were assiduously working overtime. You know, you can look at the early drafts of the Constitution. They saw that most of the tyrannies that had occurred around the world, mostly in Europe, had been when men of the cloth had been men in political power. They looked at Cromwell in England. They went out of their way not just to include in December of 1991 in the Bill of Rights, of course, the First Amendment, where we have our separation of church and state, which the dominionist Christians believe, as you well know, is a myth.
There's no such
like,
thing, yeah.
You know, yeah, it's like Popeye and Paul Bunyan and Bigfoot. But we also have something that they never take on, which is interesting. And even most lawyers forget about this. In the body of the Constitution, because remember, the main Constitution...
There shall be no religious test for office.
Exactly. We will never have a religion test for any position in the federal government. That went into effect earlier. It was in March of 1789. And yet, when the U.S. Air Force has the audacity to make the statement that they did on Tuesday, July 12, 2005, on the front page, Bob, of the newspaper that they most revile, well, the Pentagon hates the most, which is the New York Times, the number two ranking officer among the thousands in the U.S. Air Force Chaplain's Corps, Brigadier General Cecil R. Richardson, made the statement that it was now the U.S. Air Force's official policy to, quote, reserve its right to evangelize anyone that it determined to be, quote, unchurched. So the U.S. Air Force has created a Geiger counter.
What is that, Mikey?
Which they will put up to all human beings. And if you're whatever this means, I mean, who knows what unchurched means? But obviously it's a test. My wife and I raised our hands and said, excuse me, Air Force. We have three children in the U.S. Air Force, two of them Academy graduates, one who's about to graduate. They're the third generation of our family that have gone to military academies. In my immediate family, we have over 120 years of combined active-duty military service, Bob, in every major combat engagement this country's been in, from World War One to the current so-called global war on terror. But we said, excuse me, Air Force, do our kids fall on this Richard Nixon era, you know, enemies list of being, quote, unchurched? And if so, we demand to know, as their parents, are you or are you not going to evangelize them? This represents a national security threat to our country at the end of the day, Bob, every bit as much in formidability and magnitude internally as that presented externally by the now resurgent Taliban and Al-Qaeda.
There's
this
no
is
difference.
The Christian Taliban.
There is no difference, Mikey, and I've pointed it out on this program a number of times. If you sat James Dobson down with Osama bin Laden and just sort of said, okay, what do you believe? What do you believe? It would be dangerous to the world because those two would walk out holding hands because they have a lot more in common than they have in difference.
That's exactly right. And the bottom line is that look, at the end of the day, here's the bottom line. And actually the beginning part of the day and the middle part of the day. It just seems incontrovertibly true that certitude in the afterlife, as presented by Dominionist Christians, or for that matter, Wahhabists or Sharia Islam,
same bunch,
is completely incompatible with U.S. constitutional respect and tolerance in this life.
It's also incompatible with reason and common sense for the most part. I don't want a guy behind the joist behind the stick of an F-16 who is waiting for a miracle to happen.
By the way, since you mentioned F-16, I just wanted to let you know it just happened the other day. The Air Force finally decommissioned. We found the Military Religious Freedom Foundation, again for the listeners, please go to www.militaryreligiousfreedom.org. We're a nonprofit charity. You'll see the whole story there. We found, since you just mentioned F-16, the 523rd Attack F-16 Squadron, fully capable of carrying laser-guided conventional and nuclear weapons, and we challenged the Air Force for the last 2 years to do something about this. Now, they've just decommissioned the squadron apparently yesterday. But they can bring it back at any time. They're called, I kid you not, the Crusaders. Their official Air Force patch, which is on their flight suits in their squadron, but on the F-16s that fly over the enemy, is a giant crucifix, a giant helmet from the 11th century, because the first of the nine, count them, nine Crusades was the year 1096, and a giant Crusader's broadsword. The helmet is surrounded by three yellow stars in the shape of a cross, each one of them, to represent the Trinity. So somebody tell me,
why not just put the cross of St. James and put España y Santiago? I mean, I know.
Listen, how many times have we heard Osama bin Laden or the one-eyed leader of this now resurgent Taliban, Mullah Muhammad Omar, Ayman al-Zawahiri, Abu Musab al-Zarqawi, although he's dead, but his followers, the insurrectionists, the jihadists, Sheikh Hassan Nasrallah of Hezbollah, Hamas, the Al-Aqsa Martyrs Brigade, the Islamic Jihad, refer to Americans as invading American imperialists and crusaders. And I ask you, is there, you know, Rush Limbaugh jumped into me 2 months ago claiming I was a pacifist and an aider and abettor to Al-Qaeda. We immediately challenged him because, you know, although my family has 120 years in the military, we wanted to know how much Rush had, but apparently he had some sort of anal cyst, and he got out of his military.
Right, it's really disgusting. It's a pilonidal cyst. It's an open sore at the base of the spine full of hair and pus, and that's as far as I want to go with it.
Yeah, exactly how apropos. My point is there anything we could possibly be doing right now to act as a greater accelerant, Bob, or a greater lubricant for already angry young Islamic men and women in Jordan, Egypt, Lebanon, Syria to want to come and join the cause against us? Should we? It's treasonous that we're sitting here and making it easier for the enemy to hate us. We defeated Hitler, Tojo, and Mussolini in 44 months in World War II, and we did it without becoming Hitler, Tojo, and Mussolini.
Well, that's absolutely true. And, I mean, you mentioned the national security angle a minute ago, Mikey. That can't be overemphasized, because when you have a military that is subsumed within a particular religious fantasy, and in the case of these dominionist reconstructionists and so forth, it is particularly dangerous. I know a lot about these people. There's a great writer out there named John Sugg who has spent a lot of time researching the Reconstructionists. These are people who come out and say that they want to have public executions of people based on how they have sex, and they want to do it by stoning, and the reason they give for it is there are a lot of rocks.
You know, it's true. I, my response to people like that is so many Dominionist Christians and so few lions.
Isn't that the truth? I mean, you can sort of get in touch with Nero and the torches in the Vatican Garden.
You know,
sorry, that's really bad of me.
About how prescient Bob Sinclair Lewis was, the first American to win the Nobel Prize in Literature. In 1935, he wrote a book entitled "It Can't Happen Here," as he was focusing on how fascism was going across the globe and saying how it couldn't happen in America. But he went over to Nazi Germany in 1939 to personally observe for a short while what it was like to live there and to be there. So he came back to America. Of course, he was a big rock star because finally, we had an American that had won the Nobel Prize in Literature, and he was asked by the press, well, what did you see over there? And he said, let me tell you what I saw, my fellow American. I saw fascism, and listen carefully, not if.
When?
When it comes to America, it'll be wrapped in the American flag carrying a cross. And I'll tell you something. 14 years later, in the midst of the Cold War, General Douglas MacArthur made the amazing statement that symbology is one of the most important things to our American fighting machine. He then said the two most important symbols for the American fighting machine are the cross and the flag, because they teach the American fighting men how to die and how to live. You know, so when you realize that we've come to this point, that America just very recently, practically, you know, just a few weeks ago, found out that we had a Justice Department awash with Dominionist Christians from that great law school, Regent University Law School, rated one of the worst in the country. 150 of them awash in the Justice Department because that's Pat Robertson's law school, and we want to have the right mindset in there. Well, you know, of course, that's wonderful. But at least the Justice Department doesn't have, nuclear, atomic, and hydrogen weapons, but the Defense Department does. I'm telling your listeners tonight, the constitutionally mandated wall separating church and state and the technologically most lethal organization ever created by Homo sapiens is now nothing but smoke and debris. I'm sorry for the calls going off. I'm fighting a war here.
No, that's okay. Yeah.
And, right, you know, we don't have a Pentagon anymore. Listen, you know, everyone listening to the show,
we got a mega church.
We have a Pentecostal gone, and we, you know, our Department of Defense has been turned into a faith-based initiative.
And I mean, I know how busy you are. I'd like to take the hour, Mikey. We got to get you back here soon.
I'd love to do it because I want to make sure that people understand. I'm coming to them tonight with the gun smoke in my face. The usual organizations that are out there, the ACLU, the ADL, People for the American Way, the Southern Poverty Law Center, Americans United, all wonderful organizations. I belong to all of them, but they do not focus with laser-like precision where all the weaponry is. It doesn't matter whether we teach intelligent design versus evolution, you know, in West Virginia, and it doesn't matter if we have under God in the Pledge of Allegiance in California if we lose the U.S. military. Everyone, if some of you aren't old enough to remember a fabulous, powerful movie from the Cold War, that came out in the early 1960s, starring Kirk Douglas and Burt.
7 Days in May.
7 Days in May. Maybe that's where we are. I know. I can look at the calendar, Bob. I know it's May 11th, 2007. I'm trying to make people to understand, to wake the hell up and realize it's really May 11th, 1937. And, given my background as a Republican, as, you know, my family has been very conservative. Half my family is Christian. In that half, we have evangelical Christians whose last name is Christian. We're a military family, mostly Republican family. You know, I know that the religious right would love it if I was a Northern California tree-hugging, Chardonnay-sipping, Sierra Club. You know,
don't forget dope-smoking.
Democrat, you know, liberal. Not that there'd be anything wrong with that. Not at all.
No. I get it, Mikey. But
we're not. Yeah. And we're telling people, my God, look what's happening.
Well, that's the thing that drives me crazy. I don't know all these people that frankly don't believe there's any such thing as all these people anymore, because we're down to, if you look at the margin of error, we were talking about it just last night on the program. If you look at the margin of error for George Bush's approval ratings right now, it's as low as 23%. And that equates with those same 20% of people who came out in 2004 and said it was more important to them to vote about stopping a woman from being able to control her own insides or keeping two people who love each other from getting married based on how they have sex. That's that little hardcore cancerous knot of so-called Americans. These people, they're so blinded or so drunk with the idea that they're finally going to really get the bit in their teeth, Mikey, that I've said previously that if they saw George Bush drowning babies in the middle of Pennsylvania Avenue, they'd swear it was a baptism, and that's the danger that we face.
But you just touched on two key things. I'll tell you, we you and I both know that if men could get pregnant, abortion would not be illegal; it would be a sacrament.
Exactly.
And I can tell you something: there are four particular wretched stenches that you can smell when you run up against a Dominionist Christian, particularly in the U.S. military, and they're awash with them right now. And it's like walking into a I don't know, a ditch, or in my native state here of New Mexico, we say in Spanish, arroyo, filled with the rotting, convulsed corpses of 10,000 swine on a hot July afternoon. The first stench is misogynism. The fact that all women should be doing is basically selecting food, preparing food, serving food, cleaning up after food, spreading their legs, and getting pregnant and raising children.
Submit thou unto thy husbands.
Exactly. Number two is virulent homophobia, because, you know, the most important thing in the world is to make sure that we eradicate people that want to love each other, but if they're the wrong sex. Thirdly is virulent anti-Semitism, to wit, at my school, that this is not Oral Roberts or Liberty or Bob Jones, in 2004 and 2005, my beloved Air Force Academy, are you aware of what the most popular joke was going around there?
I'm afraid to ask. Go
ahead. Why did Jews make the best magicians, Bob? Have you heard that one?
No.
Apparently Jews make the best magicians because they have the magical ability to walk into a red brick building and come out the smokestacks in a puff of smoke.
You're kidding me, Mike.
No, I'm not kidding you. This is the United States Air Force Academy. And the last of the four stenches, we've talked about misogynism, homophobia, virulent anti-Semitism, is this tremendous belief that of the subordination of man, merely man's law, which is our U.S. Constitution, which I might add is the first time in human history that we have a governing document that was created by a nation state that did not invoke the name of a particular deity. That our U.S. Constitution is merely man's law and needs to be significantly subordinated to their higher view of the weaponized gospel of Jesus Christ. So it's these, and you know, this is, remember, you know, we have...
Yeah, take up your M16 and follow me.
Oh, exactly. We have caught a four-star general with nearly 75,000 troops under his command who sent an email directive down advising all of them to strongly consider, quote-unquote, giving up the weekend and traveling to a place called Creation Fest for the weekend, where they would be celebrating the fact that the Earth is 2,500 years younger than our science has conclusively proven that the Babylonians and Sumerians learned to brew beer.
Oh, my God.
We have another four-star general that we caught. But, again, trying to break into the mainstream media, we're doing everything we possibly can with our foundation. Remember, listeners, www.militaryreligiousfreedom.org, another four-star general, who commands another 75,000 troops in his command building, was sanctioning the distribution of leaflets and flyers, advising his staff to go to one of the off-base mega evangelical churches, Bob, I can't make this stuff up, and take a particular class. Ready for the class? The class name was Jesus versus Muhammad, an examination of the life of both prophets and why Jesus is superior to all.
Oh,
I can't make this stuff. When Dr.
What Thompson, happened? What I mean, let's. I mean, yeah, your beloved Air Force Academy. I don't know. We'll establish a little rapport here, Mikey. And this is back when you had a somewhat different mindset, perhaps. I rejected an appointment to the Naval Academy when I realized that I would have to have Ronald Reagan be my commander in chief. That was just a choice I made back then. Young, you know, teenager, whatever. But I think about that in the context of what you're telling me about what's going on at the Air Force Academy. I can only assume that a lot of this is probably going on at Annapolis. It's going on at West Point.
Oh, no, listen. I'll save the coup de grace. You know, I hate to have to do this, but, you know, please put on, the head-on radio network here, Bob Kincaid seatbelt, because let me tell you what the coup de grace is. Here are the numbers for your show today. If the members can just, if the people listening for this show can remember just two numbers, those numbers would be 737 and 132. Once again, that would be 737 and 132. Bob, we now have 737 U.S. military installations that the Pentagon at least acknowledges. It's actually closer to 1,000 that are scattered around the globe as we garrison the planet in 132 countries, on every one of them now. We have a powerful presence, many of them led by general officers, generals or admirals, of the Officers Christian Fellowship. For the officers and for the enlisted folks, it's called the Christian Military Fellowship. They have a tripartite or three-level goal that they view as being much more critical to push every second, every hour, every minute of every day than merely, again, man's law, which is the Constitution that all of them took a sworn oath to support, defend, protect, and preserve, the U.S. Constitution.
This isn't an accident,
right,
Mikey.
They're unabashed. It's right on their website. Their goal, number one, they want to see a spiritually transformed U.S. military. Number two, with ambassadors for Christ in uniform. Number three, empowered by the Holy Spirit.
Is this the part where I have to start whistling Onward Christian Soldiers?
You know, it's hard to say because it seems as though this, that you know, we have.
But what I said a minute ago, Mikey, this is not an accident. This is not something that just transpired. These Dominionists, these Reconstructionists, they have worked patiently, they've worked quietly, they've worked underneath the radar. They have identified their targets. It's been a tactical military assault on our military, has it not?
Really, if you look back, we've determined that when the draft ended in 1972, at least. In theory, we were pulling from what we now call blue and red states very, you know, pretty uniformly. When people were coming in that were, you know, so that meant that we had people that were being conscripted involuntarily into the military. They were already pissed off, and, you know, a spoonful of sugar wouldn't make the Dominion's Christian version of Jesus Christ go down that easily. Then next we have, you know, it proceeds through the 70s and 80s. We get to 1994 when a man by the name of Newt Gingrich has the, quote, Republican Revolution at the end of the second year of the Clinton presidency, where for the first time we really see the red-hot hatred, or as my friend General Wesley Clark has said at a fundraiser recently in my house, the most wretched combination he's ever seen in human beings of heartlessness and zealousness, you know, the Ann Coulters of the world, creating the politics of polarization, ones and zeros, very digital. Either you're with us, and if you're not with us, you probably don't deserve to be an American citizen, and you probably don't deserve to live. And then what happens, you know, 7 years later, with this idiot in the White House, everything goes on steroids. And let me tell you something. In America, in 1970, we only had 10 mega-evangelical churches, Bob, with a mega-evangelical church being operationally defined as 2,000 or more members, only 10. But after 9/11, again, with this wretched monster in the White House, a new mega-evangelical church has opened up in America every 48 hours. Now, that's their right to do it, but it isn't the right of the state to become lick-spittle supplicants for one particular reason.
Absolutely.
I mean, we don't have 150 Harvard graduates.
Well,
probably
what,
anywhere.
Yeah, and again, I know you're so busy. Let me throw one more question at you, Mikey, and,
sure.
And then you can get back to the trenches. I'm a student of history. I love military history. Going back to the, you know, ancient military history, I eat it with a spoon. We study the great military tacticians, the great generals, the great admirals. And I can't help but look at where we are right now, and we seem to have a dearth of greatness. In your opinion, is this Reconstructionist Dominionist coup takeover of the military, has this subjected our military to a certain amount of brain drain?
Well, there's no doubt that to get ahead, we broke a story on December 11th at the National Press Club in Washington. We had smuggled to us a secret video that was being used by a very shadowy group called the Christian Embassy. They minister only to the cognoscenti, glitterati, the top folks in the State Department, on Congress, and in the Pentagon. And this was an 11-minute video showing some of the most senior people, civilians, and generals in the Pentagon during the workday pushing this particular group, including Pete Guerin, at that time the right-hand man to Donald Rumsfeld. He subsequently became the acting Air Force Secretary, who our foundation sued him. And then he's currently the Army Secretary. If you look at it, you just would fall over. But again, the average American, remember, we stopped teaching government in the public high schools a long time ago. The average American does not know the difference between a senator or a congressman about the separation of powers. They have no clue. It's obvious that
for a reason.
Exactly. You know, that again, to get ahead in the military, to be right-minded in the right way, you have to have the right philosophical perspective. The same reason we have a Monica Goodling and 149 other Regent Law School University graduates. Just in the Justice Department, imagine what else is going on. I mean, it's the 13th stroke theory, Bob, like that famous 13th stroke of a crazy clock that casts out not only upon that hour but all that preceded. But look, we got to get busy. there's, you know, and in my position at this point, I often think that under Republicans, man exploits man, and I am a Republican. But under Democrats, it seems it's just the opposite. We've given up on both parties. We're going to try to go into federal court where we can kick ass, take names, and leave sucking chest wounds on this unconstitutional darkness. Because if we don't do something now, I never could understand why the Holocaust happened. How could it possibly happen? And when you tell this story, it seems so fantastic, people can't believe it. But I'm telling you, 4,200 Marines, you know, soldiers, sailors, and airmen, and veterans are not wrong.
And neither is a disabled sailor in a hospital in Iowa who, laying on his sick bed, was denied kosher food and
3 days. And, I mean, wouldn't you say, what could anybody have gone by? 3 times he's hospitalized. He's in great pain. No food. No one came there. And by the way, the VA's own regulations require kosher food. Hell, when you go on an airplane, a train, you go to a high school football banquet or on a cruise ship, they all have kosher food. This is nothing particularly new. When you go into their chapel, which is supposed to be neutral, it's unbelievably overtly Christian. And he was challenged everywhere he went. Why is it that you won't accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? Don't you know that Jesus is also the Messiah for the Jews? As we speak right now, you know, at 7:35 Eastern Time, he's in pain. He cannot get his pain medication because the doctors are saying that he can't be in pain. And, you know, we know what this is all about. So that's why we're trying to fight right now. And
why not just bring in a dadgum rack?
Yeah, I know. It seems like there's little difference. The bottom line is, as I said before, under column A, the Dominionist Christians will ask you with a smile upon their face to please accept their biblical worldview of the gospel of Jesus Christ, be slain in his spirit and washed in the blood of the Lamb. Now, they may ask for, you know, an hour, a day, a year, a week, you know, a month, but eventually, as we see in history, the last 2,000 years, whenever a very virulent form of Christianity has engaged the machinery of the state, we always end up in Plan B. And in Plan B, they stop asking so nicely, and we end up with things like the Holocaust, the Inquisition, the Nine Crusades, the
pogroms,
Black Death, and many, many other spaces in between. We've seen this train leave the station before. It always, always, always goes to the same town, Slaughterville. We do not end up with little creeks, ponds, rivers, and lakes. We end up with oceans and oceans of blood, and it's happening again. We sit here on a Friday evening, and, you know, people that are listening might think about it, but, you know, what are they going to do? They actually have to do something this time, but many of them won't.
MilitaryReligiousFreedom.org, right?
Correct, and the book is at Barnes & Noble. It's at Borders. It's on the website.
We've already got it linked on our website. People can click on it and order it straight away.
Great. The name is With God on Our Side, One Man's War Against an Evangelical Coup in America's Military. Please help us do what Benjamin Franklin said when he was surrounded by American colonists after we finally had a constitution. They said, Mr. Franklin, what type of government have you all bequeathed to us? And his famous phrase was, a republic,
if you can keep it.
Please, everyone, tonight, help us keep the republic.
Mikey, please consider us at the horn, a friend to your efforts, a resource, a means of getting your message out. When you've got something to say, know that at any time, day or night, you have an opportunity and an availability to say it here and be heard by people who take what you say and act on it and move on it.
Bob, thank you so very much. I'd love to come back. You know my publicist, Eileen Proctor. We'll do it once a week if we have to, but I want to thank you again, and thank you for being the American that you are, because, you know, the Americans of your stripe today are just all, they're probably down at that same 23% level that Bush's approval rating is.
I have been personally called a demon on the air for what I say.
Well, the religious right 44 weeks ago came up with a new name for me. They throw my picture up on a lot of the jumbotrons and the mega evangelical churches on Sundays. The new name for me is Field General of the Godless Armies of Satan. So together we're two peas in a pod.
That's got to make for a fun little acronym. I mean, have you added it to the resume?
No, I it's actually what I get introduced. They've also James Dobson called me the antagonizer of all Christianity. I've been called the most dangerous man in America. I've tried using this thing when I go into McDonald's to order a number two. You know, the two hamburgers, small fries, and Diet Coke. And they charge me $5.16, and I go, whoa, you know, I'm the field general of the godless armies of Satan. And they're saying, all right, field general, either you're going to pay or we're going to call security. So it doesn't work. I can't even get a number two at McDonald's.
Never got a dinner. Mikey, thank you so much.
All right, be well, Mikey.
And fight the fight, brother. We're with you.
We will, brother. You take care, too. Bye-bye.
Bye now. Mikey Weinstein. I did it again. Weinstein. I'm sorry. Mikey Weinstein. With God on Our Side, more importantly, militaryreligiousfreedom.org. And, you know, I think as much as I hate to acknowledge it, there was so much truth in what he said about what happens when you've got an army, a military that is made up from people of people from all walks of life. My God, do you realize how close we are to losing it all? And some journalism freak out there is worried that somebody's being mean to Mitt Romney. I'm going to stop by the video store after the show tonight and go rent 7 days in May. All right, let's take a break. We'll be back. What are your thoughts? Use the phone, 877-443-2366, 304-658-5453. This is America's liberal voice. This is The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid.
The founding fathers, they had pride. It wasn't perfect, they fought and died. 200 years of struggle for equality. Now we look more like a monarchy. The halls where justice did once reside has been sold out and replaced with lies. It's all money, power to the few. How long until they come for you? And you say that it can never happen here. And you say it can never happen here. Burn habeas corpus, tear up the writs, rubber steps, Senator.
Harry Potter has given us all a unique glimpse at education the way it ought to be. Never once do Harry and his Hogwarts friends talk about skipping class, ducking tough instructors, waiving requirements, or shirking responsibilities. That perspective, be practical, get it the easiest, fastest, cheapest way you can, is what J.K. Rowling terms the Muggle approach to education. We're Concord University, and do we have a deal for you? At Concord, education's different than anywhere else around. There's a reason that Concord students get the best jobs, are sought out by the best medical, graduate, and law schools in the land. It's no wonder that Concord has been cited by U.S. News & World Report and by the Wall Street Journal. Where do I sign up? At Southern West Virginia's version of Track 9 and 3 Quarters. All you have to do is believe, and believe in yourself. Concord University, an education you can put to work. 1-888-384-5249.
Recently on the Guy James Show on the Head On Radio Network.
If you have tuned into this program by mistake right now, and you are a Republican, a right-wing Republican specifically, before this program is over, I do want to warn you, you're going to think that I'm the devil. You're going to think I've got horns and a red cape because I hate the Bush administration and everything they stand for. So be warned right away, okay? You're all warned right now that that's where we're coming from today.
Don't miss Guy James, weekdays, 3 to 5 Eastern Time, on the Head On Radio Network.
I never thought my daughter and I would ever think the same thing is cool.
At home, my boys are like a wrecking ball. But when they volunteer, they're actually shaping things up.
Hey, they planted trees at the local park. Clean the place up.
She makes new friends. She has a great time.
My son loves that he's contributing.
These are nice kids.
The Are You Into It volunteer program is a great way for you and your kids to make a difference in the community while making friends. So, if you're into it, or you think your kid might be, call 4-H toll-free at 1-888-77-YOUTH. Or visit our website at www.areyouintoit.com.
We can't get him to clean his room, but he loves volunteering.
A public service message brought to you by 4-H, the Cooperative Extension System, and the Ad Council.
Quarter to the hour.
It's just the fear.
I'm Bob Kincaid. And let's go straight to the phones. Preston is calling from Denver. Hey, Preston, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob.
How are you?
I'm doing very well, thank you. Very much appreciated the conversation. I had actually gotten the chance to see Mikey Weinstein do a book reading at a great independent bookstore here in Denver, the Tattered Cover. And it was the first time I went to a book talk where there was a bodyguard. He has received so many death threats.
Oh, yeah, from the religion of peace.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. But he presses on, and, you know, in addition to those forces coming at him, he's having a lot of people come to him and give him support. And it's good to hear that his organization's growing, and he's, you know, making some noise in Des Moines, Iowa. And even here in Denver, he mentioned the need to break through to the more mainstream media. He was able to get on a radio show here, a show that's typically pretty establishment-friendly, very anti-liberal in many ways, mm-hmm. but nevertheless, they did speak with Mr. Weinstein and treated him with respect, and he was able to get his message out there.
Well, I don't know exactly how it happened, Preston, but you know, you and I, you know better far more so than I do, how Colorado Springs has become just ground zero for this movement, and it's no coincidence, I don't think, that the evangelical megachurch movement is. I mean, that's their Vatican right now.
Yeah.
And it's right smack dab next door to the United States Air Force Academy. That was an intentional act.
Yes. There's a symbiosis going on there. I think there's something beyond the politics, something psychological going on there. I'm not sure what, but I'm speculating that where there are places where there's wrong, you know, something so against human nature taking place as part of the institutional demand of the Air Force, you know, killing all these people. There's some need in the psyche for some to try to just delude themselves away from that reality.
It's a built-in level of expiation, isn't it?
That might be the term for it. I'm not really familiar with that.
Well, I mean,
expiation.
Just outright forgiveness for everything, you know, it's not just forgiven, it's forgotten.
Yeah.
So that, Preston, I'm at pains to differentiate between A and B, to the extent that, you know, my father, my uncles, you know, lots of relatives, veterans of the First and Second World Wars, in the Second World War in particular. You know, the awful things were done. The firebombing, there was more damage done in the firebombings of Tokyo and Dresden than were done with the atomic bomb at Hiroshima and Nagasaki. And there was tremendous civilian slaughter. The Germans engaged in civilian slaughter as a direct matter of policy. I think what was the word? Schrecklichkeit. Yeah. Somehow or another, it seems that, you know, we fought that evil, and or that, you know, we lacked the technology or something, and we said, you know, well, you know, these things happen. Well, you know, we're 60 years removed from that, and we are in a war of choice, and I think that's where my break point comes. This is a war of choice in the Middle East. Okay, we chose to be in this war. We weren't forced into it. We weren't driven into it. We weren't attacked first. We chose to be in this war, and we have engaged in civilian slaughter on a monumental scale that is absolutely horrifying. And as a consequence of that, this arm of the dominionist, reconstructionist, the religion industry that is the Air Force, has built into itself a religious justification for slaughtering brown people at will. Yep. Does that make any sense?
Yes, it does, definitely. And, again, there's a kind of an information war around that sort of theology. I mean, does the Bible really say all these empire-friendly things, or is it something quite different? And actually, there's a book that I just discovered called, I think, God and Empire, by a very progressive preacher. I think his last name is Cresson or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, he challenges the idea that that's so popular these days of the dominator God, you know, the dominionist Christians, and what does that word really mean? And it's also reflected on how they treat nature, the natural world. War on forests. It's a war on
mountains. It's a war on the very host system of life itself.
Mm-hmm.
It's a rejection. Dominionism is by definition, Preston, a rejection of the what do they call it? The Gaia idea or Gaia idea of planet Earth as a living organism. I don't know how you can reject that, because everything, you know, if you take the long view, if you as I put it, if you get off the planet, you know, we're all kind of stuck here, but if you get off the planet and try to take the long view that, you know, that we're part of a solar system, and we're sort of in the backwaters of a galaxy, and that there are billions of galaxies themselves, and you get into that whole Carl Sagan thing, then you can't help but see the universe as a living thing.
Yeah, that's so true. And how people get disconnected from that is, that's the sin. That is truly sin. And to miss that connection is just such a loss in terms of our relations with other people, our relations with the earth. And, you know, it's not just some theology or some New Age spirituality. It's quantum physics.
Yeah.
We are interconnected.
What's that great phrase? The music of the spheres. That's the way it all works out. But if you're a dominionist, you only see planet Earth, and you only see it from the perspective of your God-given command. You know, it's not an if you want to. If you're a dominionist, you believe that you have to go out and exert physical dominion over the planet, and you you show the planet who's boss.
Be tough. Tough, got to get tough.
You know, we're tough. We can blow up whole mountain ranges.
Yeah.
And that's how we wind up with, I forget the statistic. By 2010, an area of the Appalachians that matches in size the entire state of Delaware will have been flattened and turned into a moonscape that won't carry life for 5,000 years.
Yep. Well, interestingly, at the same time where we see this kind of negative movement among evangelicals, simultaneously there's this other part of the evangelical community that is finding that connection with the earth again, and defining, you know, dominion, stewardship as caretaking and respect. And I'm reading a book called Serve God, Save the Planet, and it's by Matthew Sleeth and also Richard Cizik. who led the evangelicals.
Yeah, he's another one on the Dobson list of, you know, demons walk among us.
He was elected president of the organization. He had to step down because some other people were afraid that his message of, you know, care for poor people and economic justice and the earth was going to sound too liberal. So he was pressured by the elites to step down, but still he was popular enough to be elected in the first place. There are books like the one I'm reading that have come out, and even Ted Haggard. I have a quote from him where he said, "There is no doubt about it in my mind that climate change is happening, and there's no doubt about it that it would be wise for us to stop doing the foolish things that we're doing that could potentially be causing this." So we can tap into those thoughts, even of people we see as enemies and threatening us in many ways, which they are. But if we can somehow try to cultivate these more constructive efforts, who knows what can happen.
Well, you'd like to hope that there can be change, but I don't discount in the least Mikey Weinstein's sense of urgency.
Yeah.
I think it's very real.
I guess we
have a focus problem, don't we, Preston? Because we keep thinking, you know, if we can just hold on till January 2009, if we can just get, you know, he's going to leave office, and if we can build a majority here, and blah 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 blah. And when I see all that, I think back to something I once read by Robert Frost, where he said it is the foolishness of man to think that there will ever be a political solution to a problem.
Okay.
Because he said, you know, and he wasn't exactly political. But he said politics can't solve anything. Only human beings working for the greater good can solve anything. And this was a man who suffered a great deal of heartbreak, the suicide of his children, that kind of thing. And it gets kind of depressing when you think about it that way, but it can also be empowering, can't it, insofar as if we are willing to do so, we can have change. And if we put our faith in say a political leader as opposed to somebody who's out there actually making the change happen, we're bound to be disappointed. But we do have an opportunity to make things better through our own individual actions, because at the end of the day, if we aren't making the effort, nobody else can be expected to either.
Definitely. Keep in mind that there can be change, and keep in mind that there has been change. I mean, right now we do enjoy things like, you know, programs like Social Security have helped, and the development of libraries, and, you know, what we can accomplish regarding farming, and, you know, the things that we have done pretty well. We've had the Peace Corps. We've avoided some wars that have been more intense, if not for public agitation.
We did manage to keep from blowing the planet up with the Soviets.
It helps to have some good luck too.
But no, there's so much. You mentioned Social Security, and I think about what David said at the beginning of the program, in our first conversation. It's a matter of what, you know, the real danger is what happens while we sit still. People of progressive thought, people of liberal mindsets, people who look toward the future not with terror and fear, but with a sort of hopeful exuberance. We sat by while the other side came in and claimed that they were being discriminated against in the media, and that their ideas were just as good as our ideas, and Social Security, by golly, was a commie plot. Until we actually, I mean, do you remember this? So much stuff flies by, Preston. Do you remember after the election of 2004, when we actually had to have a conversation as to whether or not Social Security should be killed?
Right.
And all that's what happens when we sit still.
Yeah, for sure. But there is a lot of movement going on. And real quickly, speaking of keeping in mind that the change can take place, you know, there are also, you know, this is more of a philosophical attitude that I think it's, you know, the elites know how to work philosophical attitudes that can be very negative in a way and get us kind of paralyzed in this cynicism. And we often hear, you know, well, war's always, that's part of our nature. It's always been there. In every epoch, it's been going on. Can it be stopped, you know? Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's a truth to that. It has been going on. But at the same time, constructive things in every era have been going on, you know, where people didn't go to wars and are avoided wars and protested wars. They knew peace in many ways, in many aspects of their lives. All sorts of examples of cooperation between people around the world. I mean, the American universities, for example, we weren't building all these military bases all over the world earlier. We were building universities in Egypt and Lebanon
right.
that were very popular and helpful at the Peace Corps.
And put a good face on the United States of America.
Exactly. Exactly.
But we've chosen to reject that.
It's such a shame.
Really. Yeah, it's heartbreaking. But again, there's a possibility for change and for hope. And I'm glad that you emphasize that, Preston, because you know, I think that behind the outrage and behind the true terror of these religious killers, the basis of what Mikey Weinstein does. Is hope, because there's no sense in doing any of this if it's a foregone conclusion, is there?
Nope. And he's reached a lot of people, myself among them. And through your show, you know, you've just reached a bunch more. In fact, when I was listening to your discussion with him, I was thinking, you know, that would be good if maybe someone in your audience, or just to consider maybe getting a transcript of that and maybe some of your other interviews and possibly putting it together for a book. I know a couple other radio hosts who have done, have transcribed their interviews into book form. And
oh, I'd love to have time to do that. I hope that will happen someday. Not because I'm an egomaniac who wants to hustle books, but because there has been so much positive information brought out through the folks who were kind enough to join me in a conversation.
Yep. And it would be fun for your listeners to have kind of that additional tool to, you know, to spread that information a little further. Something to think about. I know you and Agnes are terribly busy, but who knows, maybe someone in your audience.
We get that 48-hour work day. We're right there, Preston.
Well, anyway, I'm sure other people want to chat with you. And but again, enjoying the program, and happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there.
Absolutely. Thank you for remembering that. Thank you for reminding me. I think I'll cook dinner for Agnes on Sunday.
Great.
All right. You take care, Preston. Have a wonderful weekend.
You too. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye now. Happy Mother's Day, Mommy.
Happy Mother's Day to all moms.
Yeah. Okay, let's take a break for the news. We'll come back. Your phone calls are welcome. There's some other stories I want to hit before the weekend hits us. We're going to have fun one way or the other, because knowledge is fun. At least that was the first lesson I got growing up. It's fun to know stuff. Mom. This is the Head On Radio Network. I'm Bob.
This is the Quality News Network. Trouble at the Russian embassy in Costa Rica at this hour. An armed gunman took the ambassador and 7 people hostage. 4 hostages were later released. The threat of a terrorist attack in Germany is now being considered real. ABC News reported that U.S. and German law officials feared there would be an attack, and U.S. military personnel or tourists may be the targets. Authorities are on the lookout for a German and a Turkish terrorist who were reportedly planning a May 5th attack.
The day after Southern California firefighters got the upper hand on a huge wildfire in Griffith Park, they are now gaining control on another fire. The main city of Avalon on Santa Catalina Island is out of immediate danger. The blaze charred more than 4,000 acres, and residents who were evacuated yesterday will be allowed to return today. The wildfire, which has been burning in southeast Georgia for more than 3 weeks, has now scorched 100,000 acres. In Florida and Georgia, there are more than 200 wildfires burning. In Missouri, sandbagging continues as flood waters rise, threatening homes and farms, leading to more evacuations. In Iraq, 10 people were killed in two suicide bombings in southeastern Baghdad. 53 were wounded. The attacks targeted police patrols near two bridges. Vice President Dick Cheney issued a strong warning to Iran today. He said the U.S. would not allow the country to develop nuclear weapons or get the upper hand in the region. The vice president was aboard an aircraft carrier in the Persian Gulf as part of his trip to the Middle East. Yesterday, Iran blocked United Nations atomic experts from inspecting an underground nuclear site. Iran is refusing demands by the U.N. to stop enriching uranium. A day after he announced when he will step down as Prime Minister, Britain's Tony Blair offered an endorsement to his successor, Gordon Brown. A federal judge has approved an immunity deal for a former top Justice Department aide, Monica Goodling. She's expected to testify about the 8 fired prosecutors' controversy. She refused to discuss the firings unless she received a guarantee that she would not be prosecuted. You're listening to the Quality News Network. We've got science and business news coming up next.
Hi, I'm Anthony, owner of the Duplication Connection, and I'm here to ask you a question. Has one of your friends or relatives sent you a DVD from another country and you discovered that it won't play in your machine? At the Duplication Connection, we can convert any country-coded DVD to play in the U.S. We can also convert your DVDs to play in any country on the planet. Call me at the Duplication Connection at area code 831-373-0493 or visit our website at www.duplicationconnection.com.
Don't dread the Fed. Sure, the Federal Reserve is raising interest rates. Seems like it happens every day around noon. But does that affect your home loan? Not necessarily. Talk to the pros at Gold Coast Financial. They can help you bid your dread of interest rates goodbye. Don't wait another minute. Start living in your dream home while sending your interest rate nightmares packing. Gold Coast Financial. 649-8757. 649-8757. Gold Coast Financial. 831-649-8757.
Former chairman of the Federal Reserve, Alan Greenspan, said he thinks there is a 1 in 3 chance that the U.S. economy will slip into a recession this year. The current Fed chairman, Ben Bernanke, his successor, has downplayed the risk of a recession. Daimler Chrysler announced a recall of more than 400,000 minivans, the 2005 Dodge Caravan and Chrysler Town & Country. The automaker needs to fix faulty airbags. According to a Michigan University study, cardiologists have been told that iPods held close to the chest may make pacemakers malfunction. The report found iPod interference may result in misdiagnosis by heart doctors. The U.S. divorce rate is at its lowest since 1970. Experts say that's mostly because couples are marrying less and living together more. Starting Monday, the price of a first-class postage stamp will be 41 cents. That's a 2-cent jump from the current rate. Light sweet crude oil has been trading at the 62 a barrel mark today. It's currently trading at $62.37 a barrel. The Dow Jones closed up today 111 points at 13,326. The NASDAQ up 28 points at 2560. The S&P 500 up 14 points at 1505. There's more at our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Claudia Eisman.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins next. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
Seven past eight here on the in the Eastern Daylight Time Zone. I'm Bob Kincaid, and I want to. like I said, odds and ends that I want to make sure that we do get to before the weekend itself pulls up short. Then this is from earlier in the week. Report as of May the 9th, which I guess would be Wednesday. George Bush is planning to nominate a woman by the name of Henrietta Holzman. Am I behind the curve on this? Have you ever already heard about this? Let me know if you have. I hate just retreading stuff that you're already well aware of, but because I've been sitting on the story and haven't gotten a chance to get to it. Henrietta Holzman 4. I thought maybe it was a golf. Henrietta Holzman 4. No. Henrietta Holzman 4 is going to be the nominee as of the 9th to head the U.S. Agency for International Development. Okay, they have to have a new head of the U.S. Agency for International Development because Randall Tobias stepped down a week or so ago after it was found out that he was going. He said he was only going to those girls for massages, and after that he quit going to them and started going to Costa Rican sexual masseuses because they were willing to do the work that Americans wouldn't do. Yeah, he's got to stick with the Bush administration line, after all. So Henrietta Holzman IV is the new nominee, or gonna be, or already is. I don't know the follow up on this. She's a former graduate of Wellesley College, pretty hoity-toity, and bless her heart, she speaks her mind, or what passes for a mind. At present, she's the State Department Undersecretary for Management, and she's got some prior problems, and she took a grilling when she was appointed to that position from Senator Barack Obama. And it has to do with a speech she gave at Wellesley University in 1987. And see, it's all 1987. That was 20 years ago. People don't change that much, okay? This is a reportage from the February 12th, 1987 New York Times article about the speech. She's a woman of business, of course. That means, because she's, she has to be to hang out with the Bushistas. But the New York Times wrote, a Wellesley College trustee's remark that, wait for it. What's the theme we've been working this week? We had Congressman Ted Poe of Beaumont, Texas, who quoted the first Grand Wizard of the KKK on the House floor and did so approvingly. We've got Flush Flimball with his Barack the Magic Negro. And now, going back into the vault, 1987, I give you Henrietta Holzman IV, who said in her remarks that black people preferred pushing drugs to working in a factory. In the speech at Wellesley College in 1987, she said, according to the article, she reiterated her statement that she had trouble keeping black assembly line workers from, quote, going back to the street to earn more money selling drugs. In her lecture, Ms. Holzman also said she had found, oh dear God, oh, get her a sheet, get the matching pillowcase while you're at it. Ms. Holzman also said she found Hispanic workers to be lazy, white workers resentful of having to work with machines, and Asians, while very productive, likely to move on to professional or management jobs. Couldn't she work in a dig about how the Asians drive? I mean, that she's got all the other ones. Jesus. The Congressional Black
caucus took her to task for it, and she promised Senator Obama that she, quote, would work with the Congressional Black Caucus and the Congressional Hispanic Caucus in identifying the best practices that can be used to strengthen diversity in the State Department. And then Raw Story reports the Congressional Black Caucus never heard from her again.
Well, you know, I tried to reach them, but somebody told me that they'd gone out to selling drugs in the streets. You know how they are. It's just one right after the other.
Republicans, Republicans, Republicans. Racists, racists, racists.
Well, you know, I was running a manufacturing concern, and I had a hard time keeping black workers because, you know, they kept wanting to go back out to the streets to sell that marijuana because they could make more money doing that than they could working in my stinking sweatshop!
So, is this one running under the radar? Is this another one we missed? By the way, here it is. We're now at 10 days plus since Dana Rohrabacher, Republican from California, wished another 9/11 on people who disagreed with him about torture. And still, you know, crickets. Crickets. Hear the crickets? Nothing. Nothing. Maybe I missed it. Did Olbermann give him a word? I mean, how do you not get worst person in the world for this? Where's the mainstream coverage of this hateful, old, pasty, doughy white woman?
And, you know, I've also found that, you know, the Negroes want to go and sell drugs, but the Hispanics, well, they're too lazy to even do that. But those Asians, oh, those Asians, they're smart and they're hard workers, but they won't stay in my sweatshop. They want to go out and earn actual money. And the white people don't like to work with machines.
Who does she like? Why is this... From the same administration that brought you the Presidential Medal of Freedom for screwing up an entire country. I'm not going to, you know, I'm not going to do the flush thing. With talent on loan from God. Give me some more drugs. I'm not going to do that. But honest to God, I got to think I could do a better job than this woman. Because I can get up in front of a crowd and not just betray myself to be a hopeless racist.
What's that, Mr. Kincaid? How do you like working with... Okay, see, it's what I said. You don't like to work with machines. I was listening to the program. I heard you talking about how frustrated you were with your computer. It's true.
God! We haven't talked to our buddy Bob in a while out in North Dakota. How you doing, Bob?
Hello. It's true.
Jesus, you know.
You know, hey, you know, we all have our little differences and our little prejudices, do we not? You know, there are people that hate spinach, there's people that hate this and they hate that, and, you know, I hate Republicans.
Yeah, we do. We do have our cross. We've got our cross to bear, don't we?
Yeah, we do. Because I hate people. I really do. I hate people that are unable to look at someone else and say, "You're worthy. You're just as good as I am. You're a good man, a good woman. You're a good human being." But I don't agree with your politic, and this is why our problem, Bob, as liberals, is that we listen to their side and we give them credence. We give them credence. We do, you know, kind of like run through the jungle kind of credence, you know. It's
yeah.
The same thing.
Well, that's why I said what I said last night, Bob. You know, we'll turn the lights off here before we'll ever let anybody force a conservative on us.
There ain't going to be no conservatives on the horn. I'm tired of giving them credence. I'm tired of giving them time. I'm tired of pretending that they've got a valid point of view. You know, I'm sick of turning on TV news channels and finding, you know, we're balanced because we've got an absolutely butt-crazy, insane
balanced.
Conservative over here.
Balanced.
And then we've got a liberal who's talking sense. But we have to pretend that the butt-crazy, insane conservative has every bit the same right to spout his insanity. I'm sick of it. Sorry.
Bob, balanced? You know, if you took and looked at these conservatives for who they really are and what they really do, you know, I remember back in the day when we had these 3 and 4 and 5 party lines. We didn't have a single party line. And every time your phone would ring, the rubberneckers would pick it up and listen to it, right?
Mm-hmm.
They had to hear everything that the neighbors were talking about. If it was what you're bringing home for supper, or what the kids did, or whatever. And they were called rubbernecks. And that's what we've got in this nation and on this planet. We got a bunch of rubbernecks. They want to hear what you're doing and what Agnes is doing. They want to know if you guys are going to go out this weekend and pluck some weeds or mow your garden or plow your yard. You know.
And that's about the way it works too, Bob.
Absolutely. That's it. See, and you know, the thing is, they spread fear. Be afraid. Be afraid of the Arabians. Be afraid of the Muslims. Be afraid of the Iraqis. Be afraid of the oh my gosh, the Iranians are coming. You know, the Iranians are coming. You know, what are they coming in? I mean, they got some rubber.
Little things. Rubber seahorse rafts.
Okay, that's the thing. See, and that's what they keep propagating in my military, not their military. They didn't serve the years I served. They did not see what I saw. They have no idea, no knowledge of what your father did in the Solomons, what the Navy did to wrest this country away from Tojo, Hitler, Mussolini, and the fascists of the past. They have forgotten that, Bob. They don't remember Iwo Jima. They just see that, you know, that memorial in Washington, and they think, oh, wow, that's kind of neat.
Conservatism did that.
Yeah, well, conservatism did not do that. A bunch of young, brave Americans and Brits and Australians, Aussies, and French and German resistors. Does anyone remember what the White Rose Society stands for?
Right.
It stands for German resistors that resisted Hitler. They stood against that fascist religio fascist state.
You know, you take me to an interesting place, Bob, because we've criticized this war and we've condemned this war because this war needs criticizing and condemning because it's evil and wrong. I remember the filth, and it still goes on. You know, why do they hate the troops? Why won't they let Bush win the war? And why won't the Republicans be honest? Can you imagine what would have happened with World War II had a Republican been in office when Pearl Harbor happened? Because they dogged, the Republican Party dogged Franklin Roosevelt for 40 months.
Yeah.
Through the entire period of the war. Tormenting him, telling him he was wrong. They sat there and they screamed and howled that we should stay out of the war and not defend ourselves. And they can't muster enough honesty to say that they were a bunch of chicken craps back then, and that's what they remain to this day.
Isn't that the truth? That's the wonderful thing that I love about Head On Radio and Head On Radio Network. You get nothing but the truth. And sometimes a little opinion from some strange old gray-haired old gunnery sergeant out in North Dakota. You know, you get something that made a little bit of sense, and then it all gets dropped because, you know, all this stuff keeps coming at you. But the only thing I can say...
God, it's like swatting mosquitoes in the jungle. You know that?
No, hey, you can't. They're going to take blood, and they're going to take blood from us, and they're going to keep taking it. So let them take it. They're only going to take a pint. Maybe they'll take a quart. Maybe they'll take thousands of gallons of blood before they're done. But they are bleeding this world. They're bleeding it one human being at a time. And the only thing that us human beings can do is stand together, Bob. Stand. And I keep saying that. Just stand against.
And if one of us looks like we're going to fall, somebody, for God's sakes, prop him or her up.
No, like those Spartans, they stood at Thermopylae.
Yep.
Yeah, and they stood and they died for what they believed in, and that's what we must do. If we must die, we'll die, but we will live. We will live for each other, and we will fight for each other, and we will prevail, Bob. This thing that's come upon us is cyclic, okay? If you look at history, we've had our Genghis Khans, we've had our Adolf Hitlers, we've had our Mussolinis, we've had our Tojos and our we've had these fits of filth that have infested and infected the world. Now it is up to us that believe that we the people are what this nation was founded on. It wasn't the gifted, or we the great, or we the omnipotent, or what was it they called themselves back then? You know, they had a name for them. They were the aristocracy.
Yeah.
We the aristocracy. You know, it doesn't say that in the Constitution. It says we the people. And it means all people. All the people. Not just those that have money. You know, it doesn't mean the Waltons of the Walmart world. It doesn't mean the Bushes of the Bushevik world. It doesn't mean the Blairs of the Blair world over there in Britain. It does not mean anything other than the people of this earth. And that means the Chinese, the Czechoslovakians, the Russians, the Germans, you know, every race on this planet is a human race, and we are all brothers, we are all sisters, we are all one. And if we can stand together as a human race, not as a selected special race of selected people that think they're better than everyone else, like the, what do you call them, the Enrons, and you know, if we can just stand against them and stop buying their products, find another way. I mean, if you have to ride a bicycle to get to work, ride a bicycle. If you know, if you have to, stop, watching TV, well, shut the dang thing off. I mean, I don't watch much TV. Glenda has lately because she's kind of, you know, I've got her stuck in front of it and say, don't do nothing, watch these programs, and, you know, yeah, that's one thing, but...
Yeah.
It's to keep her, you know, occupied, so she's not, you know, running around trying to do things. But that's because she's got a broken wrist.
Right.
See, but it when that's over, well, we'll just get back to routine, hopefully, if there ever is a routine again. But the thing is, people of this earth, people that listen, please, Bob, and I love that gentle warrior that you had on there that spoke against this religiosity that is being foisted on our military.
I mean, it was nothing like that when you were in there, was it?
No, no, Bob. They never. They. You know, you could go, and they. When we were in boot camp, they took us to these huge auditoriums where we had to. We all had to have a religion, and we all had to. Believe in something other than ourselves. And I think that was to give us solace if we were to die, okay?
Yeah.
And it had nothing to do with, you know, they had this thing, they call it the, they had Catholic and Protestant and Jews, and everybody was this huge auditorium, you know, they had their prancers and their dancers up front and waving their arms and doing their thing, you know.
Hosanna.
Yeah, Hosanna and all that stuff. And hey, but it was a multicultural thing. There was lots of different things going on. It was kind of like one of them New York theater. You know, if you went to one of them off-Broadway theaters where they do all kinds of strange stuff, that's what it was. And I got one thing out of it. One thing that I really gleaned out of the whole dang mess that they were throwing at us is that they didn't believe in it. You know? They don't believe. You know, these, you know, Falwells and these Dobsons and those, they don't believe it, Bob.
No, they're in on the con.
They sell it like chocolate or some kind of fudge or, you know, I was going to say BS, but it is that. They sell it just like that because they know that there's...
But there's a difference now, Bob. I get the real sense that that's not what Mikey Weinstein's talking about.
No.
These guys are into it. They think it's real.
They are the true believers. They are the true believers, Bob. They believe that they have been given this mantle to foist across the earth and force upon everyone that they must come this way or else. And that's exactly what the fascists did. You know, they tried to get, and everybody bowed. You know, even the Pope bowed to Adolf Hitler.
Sure did.
Even the Vatican gave up to the fascists, because the Vatican, and that's supposed to be where God, it's supposed to be the throne of Christ on earth, gave up to the fascists, and now they have a fascist. I mean, they have a fascist pope. I mean, he was actually a Nazi.
Well, you know, everybody keeps correcting me and saying he wasn't actually a member of the Nazi Party, but he was a member of the Hitler Youth, and the Hitler Youth was de facto the Nazi members of the Nazi Party.
Absolutely, Bob. That's like trying to separate oranges and apples. I mean, or oranges and oranges. He was, and he is, and they are, and the thing is, it is what it is. It's kind of like what Forrest Gump said, you know?
And now here he is, you know, I mean, this dirty old man who runs around in public in funky lingerie goes to Brazil and says that legislators who vote their consciences excommunicated themselves from the church.
I will give you...
There's no such thing as excommunicating yourself from the Catholic Church. It's a party that they have to throw for you. I mean, it's like the opening credits to the old Chuck Connors. Remember Branded?
Oh yeah.
You know where they take his sword from him and they snap it in two and
they rip the buttons
off of his shirt. And,
oh yeah.
Yeah, they do all of that for you. And so, you know, and oddly enough, this hateful old anti-aircraft gunner. Dude was the enforcer under John Paul II. I mean, the uber conservative.
Absolutely.
And he's out there just saying, "Wow, they excommunicated." No, I'm sorry. Let me do this right, Bob. Well, it is my opinion that they excommunicated themselves. That's crazy talk. And now the Vatican has to turn around and lie and change the transcript.
Mm. Yeah. Well, I'm not sure. But somebody said there's only so many popes that are going to live on it. Well, maybe this is this is the end of popes, you know. This is the end of it. We've gotten to the point where we have to give up our religiosity. You know, it's kind of like, you know, I grew up as a indoctrinated Lutheran and the Missouri Synod, the Bible people thing.
Yeah.
And it was kind of, you know, we are those and everyone else and a Catholic. And I had a good friend that was a Catholic. And, you know, it was kind of funny, you know, how the Protestants and the Catholics were against each other. But we weren't against each other as people. We were against each other as a religion. And it seemed funny that Patrick Shanahan, one of my most cherished friends in my youth, was a Catholic, and you know, I couldn't understand.
His name was Shanahan, and you were surprised he was Catholic?
No.
So I'm playing, Bob. I'm playing.
I know, but I'm saying what they did to us children back there
was a crime. Yeah,
it was a crime because you know he was a dear friend of mine. He still is in my heart, and you know I pray that you know I do. Occasionally pray, but I don't pray in public, Bob. See, and these
no, people, and you don't follow a formula, and
no,
you don't.
But these people, Bob, they pray out. They stand out there and they spout biblical passages that have no meaning. They have no sustenance. They do not,
and of which they have no comprehension.
And they don't, and they just throw it at you, and I stand before you as a human being that loves my brothers. I love my black brothers, my Catholic brothers, my Muslim brothers, my human brothers, all
and sisters,
all humanity, because they tried to take that from me, and that's what they're trying to take from us now is our humanity.
Yeah, because it's a lot easier to bomb the snot out of nearly a million civilians if you can decide that they're not that human to begin with.
That's right. Dehumanize them and cause others to think of them as not human. And I cry. I have albums full of thousands and thousands and thousands of pictures of injured and deformed, destroyed, and just mutilated children from that filthy Iraq war. I keep them because it reminds me of the filthy, ugly war that they threw me into as a young man. And I say to you, all humanity, please look at yourself and at your children and at your country and say, we, the United States of America, have to turn around. We must come back from the abyss that we are headed to. We have to. If we do not,
we've got a chance, but we don't have long.
We will be destroyed, but we will be destroyed from within, from the enemies within. These religio fascists, these George Bushes, these
dominionists, reconstructionists, Taliban, Exdians. Yeah, I know what you mean. Hey, Bob, I've got to roll along. We're running out of time, but I sure have enjoyed our conversation, and I hope I'll hear from you soon. Have a great weekend. All right.
Oh well, hey, happy Mother's Day to Agnes
and to Glenda as well. Absolutely.
And to all the mothers of this earth, just stop. And stop these.
Yeah, I've got a recording I'm going to play. It takes a couple of minutes, but I think you'll appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, you take care, and our best to Glenda.
Good weekend to you.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Take a little break. We'll come back. I'm going to play that audio for you, then we'll take a phone call or two going toward the end of the program. This is the Head On Radio Network. I'm Bob Kincaid.
You don't know us. You don't. there's one place on the web you can go that's so topical, you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. WBYAD40.com. Quad Wally and Dookie are there. They're working hard every day to give you updates in the news, politics, and a great sense of humor. So stop on by and see the boys at WD40.com, a place where you can raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com, your one-stop shop for all things progressive.
Obviously need to address the issue of the Saddam Hussein execution. Have seen the video that was taken on a cell phone, or have read about the circumstances surrounding the execution. It's pretty evident that the absolutely worst thing that could have happened with the carrying out of the sentence after the long trial of Saddam Hussein happened. And if we had sat down and made a list and said, all right, here's a list of six or seven different things that could happen, what would be the very, very worst thing that could happen, not only for us, for the United States, but for the world and for the Iraqis themselves? And it seems to me that if not first, then definitely second would have been what indeed did happen.
The Dr. Bill O'Brien Show, Tuesday to Thursday, noon to 2 Eastern, here on the Head On Radio Network.
To take one day a year and give thanks and appreciation to one of the most difficult jobs there is, being a mother.
Mother's Day is a joyous time to be thankful for the guidance that you've been given by a mother and the gift of having children.
Mother's Day to me means a global notion of motherhood. So I can't, of course I think about my children and my mothering of them, but I can't help think about the mothers of all the Iraqi civilians and soldiers who are dying every single day. I can't help thinking about the mothers of our own soldiers who are being killed every day. I think Mother's Day is a day to bring violence against our children to an end.
Mother's Day really was, in its origin, an anti-war day, an anti-war statement. Julie Ward Howe was sickened by what had happened during the Civil War, the loss of life, the carnage, and she created Mother's Day as a call for women all over the world to come together and create ways of protesting war, of making a kind of alternate government that could finally do away with war as an acceptable way of solving conflict.
Arise then, women of this day. Arise, all women who have hearts. Whether your baptism be of water or of tears,
say firmly, we will not have questions answered by irrelevant agencies. Our husbands will not come to us reeking of carnage for caresses and applause.
Our sons shall not be taken from us to unlearn all that we have been able to teach them of charity, mercy, and patience. We
We, the women of one country, are too tender to those of another country to allow our sons to be trained to injure theirs. From the bosom of the devastated earth, a voice goes up with our own. It says, disarm.
Disarm.
Disarm. The sword of murder is not the balance of justice.
Blood does not wipe out dishonor, nor violence indicate possession. As men have
often forsaken the plow and the anvil at the summons of war, let women now leave all that may be left of home for a great and earnest day of counsel.
Let them meet first as women to bewail and commemorate the dead.
Let them solemnly take counsel with each other as to the means whereby the great human family can live
in peace, each bearing after his own time the sacred impress,
not of Caesar, but of God.
In the name of womanhood and humanity, I earnestly ask that a General Congress of Women without limit of nationality
may be appointed and held at some place deemed most convenient.
And at the earliest period consistent with its objects.
To promote the alliance of the different nationalities.
The amicable settlement of international questions.
The great and general interest of peace.
In the spirit of Mother's Day and its origin, you can help a child this year by donating to No More Victims as a gift to your mother this Mother's Day. No More Victims brings war-injured Iraqi children to the United States to receive the medical treatment they need. You will help bring Sally, who lost both of her legs in the war in Iraq.
My mother used to say all the time, I look after people's kids because one day I know somebody will look after my kids. I feed people's kids because I know somebody one day will feed my kids. That informs a lot of who I am as a mother. That I know that I'm not only parenting Mavis and Duncan, but I'm responsible for every child that comes through.
I thought you might have been, you know, we've been running the PSA for nomorevictims.org. I thought you might appreciate hearing the entire audio from that. It was a video up on the web. Moving stuff and a tribute to moms everywhere. Whether it's the great Greek comedy Lysistrata or the speech of Julia Ward Howe, there's a lot of sense in the idea of the role that women can play in stopping the brutality in which we so easily engage. Let's go to the phones. Luke joins us from Knoxville, Tennessee. Hey, Luke, welcome to the program.
Good evening, Bob.
How are you?
Oh, I tell you what. I'm just curious with all this going on the last day or two. Do we figure this weekend the Sunday shows are going to be, there's Rudy, everybody jump on him.
Well, yeah, I haven't really mentioned it, but what's this business that he's going to come out and embrace a woman's right to choose? Yeah, they'll chew him up and spit him out for that.
Well, I was sitting here, I had the sound down, I was watching Ms. Zond just for a minute, and they had,
dear,
of course, our favorite person, one of our favorite people in the world, Bill Donahue.
Oh, why, Luke, why? Why do people put, I mean, is it because,
you know, it's the same reason, you know, after the Imus thing. You know, we were talking, you know, about people complaining about, well, Sharpton on there. I said, well, unless somebody's come up with a story about somebody breaking in and taking over the control room, I think the editors decided to put him on the air, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, somebody up down the line said, put him on the air.
Donahue.
So, you know, it's like, guys, you know what he's going.
So who was that nasty old freak Donahue hating tonight?
Oh, it was on Rudy.
Really?
Oh, yes.
Did Donahue personally excommunicate him?
Well, I had the sound down, I'll be honest, because I was listening to you all. But let's put it this way, he didn't look happy.
You know, I get the idea that he comes down and screams at breakfast every day.
Comes down and claims if he has a wife, you're trying to poison me, aren't you?
Yeah, where's my English muffin, you heathen witch?
Oh, I tell you what. Now, this week, I've got a question for you. Who do we think has done the best performance this week? Now, we've got a couple of choices. First of all, we got Wes Clark. The thing the other night was O'Reilly.
Mm-hmm.
Where apparently O'Reilly jumped on him, and Wes Clark didn't bat an eyelash, just turned it right around. And just lay, you know, just went right after him. Then this thing, the Gonzo hearing, the thing with Robert Wexler and Linda Sanchez. They deserve a prize.
They do. I love the.
I love the thing when they got him. Well, how do you know the president and the vice president didn't do it? Since you say you have no clue who did it.
True, ain't it?
It's sort of like, if you want to sit there and claim ignorance, that's fine. You have to claim it the whole time.
Yeah, the butter spreads both ways.
Oh, I'll tell you what. The one they were on tonight is everybody's on this thing with Opie and Anthony.
Oh, you know, that's just that. I saw a little blurb on that, and sort of it got backburnered. But so what? They had some guy on the program who was saying that he wanted to have sex with Queen Elizabeth and Condi Rice, and who was the other one?
Laura Bush.
Laura Bush. Okay, and he had to apologize for saying that he wanted to have sex with Condi Rice.
Well, it wasn't quite that. It was something a little bit more serious.
Oh, really?
It forced.
Oh, he wanted to rape him.
Uh huh. Yeah, but you know what the thing of it is? It's like they had Rachel Maddow on Paula Zahn talking about it, and they had Roland Martin, you know, their contributor. And he said, look, this is a pay-per-view service they're on. You know, because they were saying, why can't the FCC get involved? They said, because it's a pay-per-view service.
Because the FCC it doesn't go over the public airwaves, and the FCC has no daggum jurisdiction.
Mm-hmm. So, you know what I mean? But like I say, and I was sitting there going,
and yet, but yet, by comparison, Luke, now wait, it's 10 days and counting since Dana Rohrabacher wished another 9/11 on the United States.
Well, and then think of it, back about 2 weeks ago, we had Neil Boring came out and said the Virginia Tech kids, it was their fault they died because they didn't jump the guy with two handguns.
Right.
And then last week we had the OxyContin kid was playing his little song. Which, like I say, I'm that still amazes me that people aren't standing up on a chair screaming on that one.
Yeah, no kidding.
You know what I mean? And, I tell you what, you know, it's just one of those things. It's like, you know, if you people, you know, if y'all want to play your holier than thou, then fine, play it with everybody. You know, it's sort of like you can't all of a sudden say, well, we hate this person and this person does it, but these people do it. Well, that's fine. We aren't going to talk about it. It's like, you know, we're CNN. It's like, you see how, well, of course, like I say, if they start down that road of going after Bort or the OxyContin kid, then we have to look over at some fella named Beck.
Yeah, there's him, too.
One other quick thing. I'm sorry, I'll get out of here because I know you probably got somebody else.
No, that's okay. That's okay.
I got thinking about the other day. Isn't it amazing how all these last couple of years, all these record profits from the oil companies, have you seen anything where anybody said, let's build a new or one or two new refineries, maybe?
Interesting, but no.
You know, we've got $7 billion in profits. No, we can't afford to build a refinery, new refinery.
Yeah, those things are expensive. Then we wouldn't have $7 billion in profits anymore. We'd only have $5
billion. So, you were talking about that thing. The other last week, I don't remember what day it was, I believe that Oberman did have that as the worst person in the world.
Did he?
Yeah. I'm thinking it was just about Monday or Tuesday last week or something. I'll see if I can find it, and I'll email it to you if I can.
No, I'm not going to let go of this one with Rohrabacher because, you know, we made the right-wing media nutbags screamed like stuck pigs when Dick Durbin merely pointed out that we were using the same tactics as the people we had defeated in World War II.
Well, this thing with Opie and Anthony, I'm just waiting to hear. I'm sure that by Monday the OxyContin kettle will tell us how they're card-carrying DNC members.
Oh, I'm
probably
sure.
He hasn't already.
Yeah. And, I mean, for me, the programming itself, you know, no big deal. And I don't approve of wishing violence on anybody. I don't know what people get out of it. But, you know, welcome to free speech. Free speech is a pretty brutal thing, and the people who framed the Constitution knew it.
And it's like they say, it isn't the people that saying the nice things. People saying the things you don't like. That's where you have to have the freedom of speech.
That's the measure of how free your speech is going to be. Exactly.
It's more like, you know, you got to take it for the good and the bad. You know, it's like, what was the old line out of, was it, George Burns, when he did Oh God, he said, you know, he talked about how you have to have suffering. He said, well, then I never could figure out how to do up without doing down.
Yeah, and this kind of does dovetail with the smoking thing with the MPAA.
Oh, gosh.
We're going to R-rate movies now because they've got a cigarette in them?
Well, let's see. What was the one Harvey Keitel did a few years ago about the guy owning the smoke shop? You know, that's all it was people coming in and out of there. That, thank God. I think I have about seven X's on it.
Yeah,
I'm done with that thing.
If that's the case, are we going to R-rate movies in which people eat? Well, yeah, it'd be an R-rated film.
Yeah.
What about General Jack D. Ripper sitting there honking on that stogie in Doctor Strangelove? R-rated movie.
Well, they were sitting there showing the scene when they were talking about it today, and the thing they were showing was The Graduate, the thing with Anne Bancroft.
Yeah.
You know. So, you know what I mean? It's one of those things. It's sort of like, look, you know, my mom died from a form of emphysema. So, like I say, it's one of those things. I've never had any desire to smoke. But like I say, I can't make that decision for somebody else.
No, and you're rational enough to understand that seeing it in a movie is not going to make you want to go out and fire up a pack of Camels.
But it's one of those things. It's sort of like, you know, when you see some of these things, it's like, is that all we're, you know, it's like everybody else jumped jumped on the lake. Are y'all going to too? Yeah.
Yeah, we are.
And
it's such a confession, Luke. It's an admission on the part of these authoritarians. And you know what? It may be comprised of people who call themselves liberals. I don't know, but it's a confession of these people that they can't parent.
Yeah, you know, I mean, that's the thing. You know, I mean, it's like, say, you know, mom and dad should have taught you this when you were six or seven. And, I mean, they may have had to reteach it to you a couple more times. But, you know, it's one of those things. It's like, say, by the time you get to your teens, if mom and dad haven't taught you these things are bad, you know what I mean?
Yeah, we missed
you're
it.
You're over
and,
it.
I mean, I'm a smoker, and I sit there and I look at my kids and say, you know, it's not a matter of don't do as I do. I don't want you to smoke. And I'll sit there and tick off a million good reasons for them not to, and then I'll add to it. By the time you get old enough to, the darn things will be $10 a pack. And if you're that stupid to get hooked up with this stuff, then I've really, really messed up.
Well, I'll tell you what, Agnes probably knows the right people. You probably do it. If you ever want to really do it, I think they ought to take high school kids and take them on a little trip through the retirement centers.
Yeah,
visit the people, you know, with the cannulas and walking around carrying their oxygen tank.
They saw that with their grandfather, Luke. I
know, but you know what I mean. There's some kids, you know,
yeah.
You know, and let them talk to them and see how much they, you know, it's like,
yeah,
you know, because I've seen some of them when my mom was in the hospital, and some of them would take their oxygen off so they could go outside and smoke.
Yeah. You know, I know. Yeah,
brain dead.
It's a powerful. It's a more powerful addiction than heroin. It really is.
I know. Well, I tell you what, but let me let you.
Hey,
go
Luke,
on.
Have a great weekend.
You too.
Bye now. And all of you, if your mother is around, do something very, very special for her this weekend. If she's not, remember her with all the love you can muster. Simple enough, isn't it? To the mothers everywhere, a very happy Mother's Day to you. And for the newest mother that I know, your first one, a very happy first one, Laura, and many, many happy more. And you, Agnes, a mother among mothers. I don't know. We'll figure out something nice for you on Sunday. How about a nice barbecue dinner on Sunday?
That sounds good.
Pulled pork and hot slaw and Yeah. I'll do something out of the ordinary. I don't know.
How about you paint my house?
We've got siding. What do you think? No, I'll roof your house, okay? You did a lovely job producing tonight, as you always do.
Thank you.
You fabulous mother of four, you. Brian Reznor announces, we appreciate it. John Fox is our engineer. Peter Godbold is our IT consultant down in Tallahassee, Florida. Ben Birch is the hardest working man in liberal talk. Makes everything that happens on the horn happen. Hope you're feeling better, Ben. He's got a fundraiser going over at whiterosesociety.org. Get with it if you haven't lately. And thank you to those who have written and said, you know, thanks for reminding me. I just gave to Ben. It is sincerely appreciated by all of us here at the Horn. Our many thanks to the thousands of members of the United Brotherhood of Carpenters who have helped us get this network up and running, who build the American dream and are helping us save the American dream. Liza, take it easy on Mommy Sunday, okay? And then there's another mother that we remember every night. Always, always, always. RMR, Gina, it's all for you.
March 20th, 2023, you might be assisted in your comprehension by the message of one of the attackers, someone whose family your country callously destroyed in its mission to accomplish in Iraq, and who spent the next 20 years plotting this day's revenge, and you will wonder again why you stood by as your country attacked Iraq on a completely bogus pretext. You'll remember applauding when this mailed fist was long ago sent, and just as it comes hurling back in your direction at a lethal velocity stamped return to sender, you'll wonder what you were thinking, and you'll realize just how much you weren't. One day you're going to wake up America, and you're going to find out what was happening while you were sprawled on the couch watching endless mind-numbing loops of CSI Desperate Housewives or Dancing with the Stars. One day you're going to wake up and realize that catching all the action during week 7 of the 2011 NFL season really wasn't so critical in the greater scheme of things after all. One day you're going to wake up and wish you'd invest a little more energy in the monitoring and choosing the people who have made monumental decisions on your behalf. One day, with a flash of remorse greater than you thought it possibly that one human vessel could contain, you'll remember the ignored warning shots across your bow. Moments later, you'll discover the human capacity for searing remorse is actually even greater still as you contemplate your inattention, even to the shots that were fired right before the bow, with a fury you could yesterday have thought yourself incapable of. You'll hurriedly attempt to fix Band-Aids to the tattered splinters remaining from your country's once sturdy hull, but you'll learn quickly the toll of those years spent wasted in a civic coma. You'll find that no amount of patchwork can any longer save this sinking ship from its appointment with the dustbin of history. In shame, you'll regret the callous arrogance with which you laughingly dismissed those who sounded the early clarion call, "We are destroying ourselves." They tried to tell you, but even on the rare occasion